Yes, I made it in eventually. Welcome. You're listening to London's LBC 97.3. My name's Rufus Ham, standing in for Ian Lee, who's off on holiday. So, basically, I can only apologise. The show obviously meant to be starting at 10, but you got to hear a bit of Clive Bull, so you can't really complain too strongly about that. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what a nightmare. What an absolute nightmare to bore you with the details of my day. Essentially had to get back from Edinburgh. There were delays because the airline I was flying with hadn't been able to get a plane into Edinburgh on time. Then it just sat there for 15 minutes. But once I was underway, I thought, well, this is still going to be fine. And then when we did get to Heathrow, I kid you not, it sat in the middle of Heathrow. It did nothing. There was no tubey thing to walk through, which is always a pleasant thing. You get to imagine, like, walking through the belly of a giant snake or something. Nothing like that. Instead, they were waiting for coaches to turn up, which the captain then came on and said, oh, well, apparently they've forgotten to get the coaches to us. So that was that. And I kid you not, I just stood there with a bag, knowing that the time was ticking away. I asked him what we could do about it. Nothing, because obviously you're not allowed just to wander aimlessly through the bits where they keep all the planes. And I still thought, well, that's fine, you know? That will be fine. Got down to the taxi that was booked for me. Told him, I'm coming to LBC. LBC, LBC. He was brilliant. He got me here as quick as he could, but had misunderstood and thought I meant BBC. So it took me to a completely separate building, and then we had some more Clive Bull. Do you know, it's not a good way, is what I'm trying to say. Not a good way at all to start a new job. Cripplingly underprepared, obviously. Got no real idea what I'm doing. But what I would like, ladies and gentlemen, is if you've got any idea at all, that somebody has had a worse start to a new job than I have, then give us a ring. The number, 0870-9090-973, or you can text 84850, or if you've got one of those newfangled computers, why not try emailing onairnow at lbc.co.uk. Bad starts to jobs wasn't anything I'd planned on us having a bit of a chat about. I'd got a whole different list of things. And so I'd still like you to ring in and get in touch about those. The first one is things you can't believe more people don't know. I, for example, can't believe that more people don't know that the Sun and the Times are owned by the same people and that it's all very anti-Europe, because if we went into Europe, all the laws would change. They'd have to sell off the Sun, they'd have to sell off the Times. Basically, when you pick up one of those newspapers, they're going to be very anti-Europe, because it's important to them that they all stay together and they can make more money. But I can't believe more people don't know that. However, there are a plethora of much more interesting pub facts than that, and I know that you know some of them. So please, get in touch with us with more facts that you can't believe more people don't know. Also, I was thinking about this, when you do music radio, oftentimes people ring in and want a dedication. Why can't you do that on talk radio? If you want to text into us, 84850, then I will dedicate each phone call to somebody out there. Maybe you want to dedicate it to a loved one or something like that. I know a lot of people like to listen to this late night slot in bed. Good evening if you're out there. We can dedicate something to you, a lovely phone call with, you know, some nice people. That could be quite nice. One of the other things I'm quite interested about is George Cameron. George Cameron? I don't know who he is. David Cameron, even. Reading in the paper on the plane on the way here, he's now coming out in support of hoodies. I don't know. Everything he seems to say seems quite nice. I can't ever bring myself to vote Conservative, though. So, is there anybody else out there who feels bizarrely drawn to the new, suited, shiny, I'm not Tony Blair, honest gov, David Cameron? And can't quite get their head around it. I was raised under a Thatcher regime. I know I can't vote Conservative, and yet, day on day, I find myself being strangely drawn. I'm finding it tricky. If you've got any advice for me to help me see the wood from the trees, then give us a ring, 0870-9090-973. And finally, crimes and punishment. There are a lot of people who got in the way of my journey today. A lot of people. And I feel they should be punished in some way. But there are a lot of crimes out there that we all know are crimes that have no fitting punishment. For example, the people who run those late-night phone-in quizzes. You can't tell me that's allowed. All that ringing in, you know, you could win £1 million, this, that and the other. That seems utterly, utterly wrong. Westlife. Again, surely that's illegal, isn't it? That's making music for people who don't like music. And yet, you know, out they are. It seems that there's probably a crime out there and a punishment that is as yet undiscovered. So, get involved. Give us a ring. 0870 90 90 973. Or text. We will dedicate each phone conversation to somebody out there. 84850 on the text. And talk to us about crimes and the right punishments for them. Talk to us about things that you can't believe more people don't know. And please steer me right with information on Mr. Cameron. Now, we understand that Ben from Frinton-on-Sea is standing by. Ben, are you there?
Hello, yes, I am.
Hello, Ben. Ben, hey, I'm there, sorry mate. If I'm a bit out of breath. It's been a nightmare getting in. Are you all right?
No worries, mate. I'm not too bad at all.
Marvellous.
How are you doing?
I'm calming down slowly. I'll get the hang of this. Trust me, it'll be marvellous. So, we're going to dedicate this phone call to your wife.
That's excellent. We've just found out we've got a little baby on the way.
Oh, magnificent news.
We're due on the 17th of December.
Wow. And now, let me ask you, when's your birthday, Ben?
14th of December.
The 14th of December?
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Yes,
did
mate.
You find that you used to get presents given to you, and it was like one present, and they just said, that's for your birthday and your Christmas?
Definitely, 100%.
So, your offspring is going to get the same sort of thing, aren't they?
I'm going to try and change it.
What are you going to do? What's your solution?
I think the way to do that is to sort of make sure that it's going to be sort of a big birthday present and a Christmas present at the same time.
A big birthday present and a big Christmas present?
Without a doubt.
What about the decorations? Because I knew somebody whose parents refused to put up Christmas decorations until after their birthday.
No, we have to have the... We have, basically, when I was at home and all that, we used to put up their Christmas tree on my birthday. So, now we're married and all that, we have the Christmas tree goes up on the 14th of December, and it stays there till about 20th.
Well, hopefully, for your impending offspring, they come a couple of days early.
That would be nice. That would be really cool, yeah.
Apparently, if you have a very hot...
Sagittarian on the way.
Another vegetarian?
Sagittarian.
Oh, Sagittarian. I do apologise. Yeah, I don't think you can be born into dietary choices. You're quite right. Was there anything else, Ben, that you wanted to add?
No, it'd be lovely. I just wanted to, I just wanted to put a little a word out to my wife, just to say I love her so much and all that. And I know she's going through a really hard time and all this, and just... you know, sometimes we have some ups and downs and she feels really bad. But
well, you must have some ups and downs. I mean, she's pregnant, for crying out loud.
And then some. Just to let her know I love her very, very much.
Well, that's a beautiful sentiment, and thank you. What can I ask what you do, Ben? What do you spend your time doing?
I'm a doorman.
You're a doorman?
Yeah.
And have you ever messed up a first day on it? Because are you a doorman at one place or do you move around part of a crew?
I've worked at a couple of places before, but at the moment I'm a statutory doorman, so I work in one place. So.
And you've never messed up the first day of that place?
No, not at the moment. Well, I'd like to not think so anyway.
You never chucked out the manager's daughter? Any mean, boobs at work?
No.
Ever kept anybody out that should have been let in?
That's it. Yeah, many a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But are you quite a big bloke, Ben?
I'm 6'3".
You're 6'3". Nobody's messing with you. You could
I've got a little bit of size too.
You could knacker up all of work and nobody would say a word.
Well, I'd like to think so.
Well, Ben, thank you. You're clearly a beast of a man, but with a soft underside.
Thank you very much, mate. You are a friend of mine already.
Which where do you door?
In Clacton-on-Sea.
Well, next time I'm in Clacton, I'll try and look out for the shadow and follow it to where you are, Ben, and we shall shake hands
mate.
Like
That'd
brothers. Marvellous, thank you. That was Ben in Frinton-on-Sea. And I understand somebody else may have had a terrible first shift, and I think she is Louise from Barnsley. Louise?
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. You're in Barnsley proper.
Yeah, I live here. I listen on Sky.
You listen on Sky. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I love LBC.
Because essentially it's better than anything in the north, is that right?
Yeah, I love Londoners, I love the southern accent.
You love Londoners and the southern accent?
Yeah, I love it.
Ever tempted to try it out yourself, just for show?
No.
Well, fair enough. Barnsley, that's fairly near the Arctic Monkeys country, isn't
it?
Yeah, Sheffield,
that's where they're from, actually.
Is they're from Barnsley, they're often billed as being from Sheffield?
Sheffield's near us.
It's very near.
Yeah, it smells weed.
It's hearing your accent just reminds me of their very, you know, sort of northern tones.
Oh, do you know what? It's nice to talk to someone in LBC that can understand me.
Well, I'm a very understanding man,
yeah.
Louise.
now, my accent.
I may be very understanding, but I'm also clearly very rubbish at getting to work on time. And this, my first ever show, standing in for Ian Lee, my first ever time. I understand you may also have had a bit of a dodgy first chip down the job.
Yeah, it was my first day at work at a fast food restaurant. And I was being shown around to show you what to do and alternate stuff. And the first thing I did was burn myself on a toaster.
You burnt yourself on a toaster?
Yeah, and I made quite a big scene about it.
Okay. When you say quite a big scene, what do you just pick up a handful of cheeseburgers, hold them at the customers, and say, you've been McHappy slapped? Something like that?
Someone was in my way, so like, to get around them, I kind of nearly pushed them, and like, I probably deserved it, actually. And I caught my hand on the toaster, because it's like a huge toaster thing, obviously. Toaster thing.
It's an industrial machine.
Yeah, and I went, and the guy was going, I just burnt myself. I said, look, it's blistering. So they got me into water. So they got me finger into water. I said, it's going to scar, isn't it? It's going to scar. So that didn't help.
Right, so you're screaming, it's going to scar, it's going to scar.
Yeah.
People already in McDonald's possibly thinking to themselves, well, hang on a second, you know, what's actually in these burgers?
Yeah.
And you're screaming about possibly having been disfigured.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And then the guy that had to walk past said, well, you should have had some manners and this wouldn't have happened. So he got the accident book out and he said, right, you can write in yourself. So I had to write down burnt finger.
So which hand did you burnt?
It was my right, yeah.
It was your right, and which hand do you write with?
My right.
So you've got a sort of crippled hand, I would imagine probably looking a little bit something like at the end of the Terminator, going into the hot lava. You've got that, and you're trying to grip a pen and fill in your own accident report sheet.
Yeah, it doesn't help. And then...
And then, there's an and then.
Yeah, after I got over that and everybody kind of stared out my way and looked at the ground.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Nobody wants to be hanging around with a woman with a gammy hand.
No, the mad woman, I think it was.
Oh, right, okay.
And they had some burgers out, because they already made some burgers. And
right.
I knocked all them off. And people were complaining because they weren't getting the burgers on time, so everyone was stressed out. And I had to laugh at myself.
That is a story of no short calamity. So how long did you stay at McDonald's? What happened after that?
I was there for about...
You did what, sorry?
5-6 months. It wasn't that long. I hated it.
I'm not surprised. There's not a lot to enjoy in that, is there?
No.
But you'd gone in, crippled yourself, been absolutely mad, and then left.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Louise.
All right. Nice talking to you.
It was lovely. Was there anybody you wanted to dedicate that call to?
My dog.
Your dog. Well, my name is Rufus Hound, so it's only fitting that there was some canine theme to the second call. Thank you very much, Louise in Barnsley, listening on Sky. So, you know, LBC, London, 97.3, reaching out across the globe. Now, though, I understand there may be some products that we need to know more about, so let's do that. Real life, real London, although Louise, we most recently spoke to, of course, from Barnsley. You don't have to be from London to join in. We're wrapping our arms around you like, you know, like family, lovely things. And if you want to be part of our family, then all you have to do is get in touch. But what do you get in touch about? The things I want to talk about are obviously terrible starts to new jobs. This is the first time I've ever done anything on my own at LBC and managed to be here about half an hour late. So let me know about your experiences, only really because it'll make me feel slightly better about myself. The other things I want to talk about is things you can't believe more people don't know. Dave already picked up the baton on this one. He's in New Eltham. And he's texted us, he can't believe more people don't know gods don't exist, like Santa Claus. And I'm presuming he means people already know that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Otherwise, the tone of the email is that Santa Claus is a god. Which is quite an interesting proposition. You know, often God pictured as a big white, you know, man with a beard. Maybe a bit like gnomes or something like that is also being suggested. Although that would be quite good. I think if people had garden gnomes, they'd be like Santa's spies. Sat there in your garden, ogling you through your kitchen window. The elves as worshippers, possibly, in some almost Lord of the Rings-esque scene. A battlefield full of gnomes looking up towards Santa Claus. I don't know, I'm rabbiting on. But that's a good point, Dave. More people should know that gods don't exist. Maybe you think differently. You can text us. The number here, 84850. That's how to get in touch with a text. And remember, text in all the time, because we will dedicate each phone call to somebody you love. So, you know, get on that as well. So, things more people don't know. Terrible starts to first days at work. And also, crimes and punishment. There are all sorts of things out there, crimes that as yet don't have sufficient punishment. We want to know what the crime is, and also what the punishment should be, what punishment's most fitting. For example, Westlife. You know, what isn't even the question? Why, really, surely, more the point? And what should Westlife be made to sit through? The nearest I've come to anything even resembling something relevant would be to be sat in a room being injected with saccharin until their eyeballs burst out of their heads. Again, quite a graphic image, maybe not something you wanted at 10 to 11 on a Sunday night, but there's got to be better examples. You're coming up with them at the moment. You're screaming at your radio, oh, hang on, what about this? Well, that's, I can't hear you that. That's rubbish. Give us a ring, 0870 9090 973. Now, we're waiting for you to call, waiting for you to get in touch. The other thing I'm quite interested in is David Cameron. I find him, bizarrely, quite attractive. Not in a sex way, but just in a way that everything he says kind of makes sense. Apparently, it's already been leaked, this speech he's doing some brains trust tomorrow, that he's looking at hoodies and saying, well, our response to young kids wearing hoods says more about us than it does about them. That, you know, they're feeling kind of disengendered and what have you. That strikes me as an incredibly sensible way of going about the issue, with obvious echoes of Tony Blair talking about we're going to be tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime. It's a very similar kind of thing. So I don't know, I feel myself slowly being drawn to the dark side, the blues. And that just doesn't sit well with me. I don't know, it's like eating day-old fish. I'm not quite sure about it. So if you can help me out with my own political outlook, then that would be great as well. 0870 9090 973. There's been a text, this part of the stream of things that we're doing here, about things you can't believe more people don't know. Somebody's texted in, although they have chosen to remain anonymous. It says, you can change your birthday. It has to be left to you in a will. There is a legal precedent. So you can change your birthday, it has to be left to you in a will, and there has been a legal precedent. I want to find out more about that. This follows on from the first caller we had, the doorman from Frinton-on-Sea, recently discovered that his wife is pregnant, their baby will be due around about Christmas time. I always think that's rather unfortunate, because you only get lumbered with one set of presents. But somebody said that you can change your birthday, but it has to be left to you in a will. That, to be honest, that text asks more questions than it answers. So we'll try and look in a bit. Or maybe you're out there, you've texted that in. I want to know more about it. Give us a ring. 0870 9090 973. And John in Coulsdon says he can't believe that some people don't seem to realise speeding is illegal and are astonished when they are fined. John, it's a very good point. Although, to be honest, if it hadn't been for speeding, I don't think I'd be here now. So, that seems a bit, you know, odd. Somebody's texted in that they like my face, which is very nice. Where can they buy it? That's nice. That's from Clive Bull's Severed Leg. Well, my face, not technically for sale. But it's to be honest, there's all sorts of things I want to say about that text. Sometimes I think you should probably read them in your own head before you just broadcast them on the radio. Is there a legal precedent for people buying other people's faces? I know I used to work at the Science Museum, and we had a collection of shrunken heads. So I suppose on some level, they must have changed hand or been traded at some point. I don't think that's... I do hope that you're not asking, you know, for my head to be shrunken in some ceremony. I don't even know how they go about shrinking heads. Cameron is a Burke. Love from Nige. Thanks, Nige. What you've done there is, rather than go for any in-depth political analysis, you've just decided that you don't like him, and that should sway me. I might need slightly more. If you have an opinion about David Cameron and why I shouldn't be being drawn toward him in the way that I am, I don't feel that it's appropriate, then get in touch. The telephone number, 0870 9090973. The text, 84850. Or you can email, for heaven's sakes. And that is onairnow@lbc.co.uk. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm beginning to calm down now. I think I might have a cup of tea. That would be nice, looking out there, just seeing if anybody's likely to make one. But we've got calls pouring in. This flashboard's absolutely jumping. So, I'm willing to find out more. From King Jacob of Kentucky, he can't believe more people don't know that Blackpool Tower is just an electric pylon with the other of the pair in the Isle of Man. Is that true? I'm beginning to think, you know, if you want to let us know about things that you can't believe more people don't know, please ring. Because, I mean, I'm happy, you know, the dedications, each phone call can absolutely be dedicated. That is a perfectly acceptable use of the text. But so far, we've had three things with people texting in, and all I want to do is know more about them. King Jabber of Kentucky, he can't believe that more people don't know Blackpool Tower is just an electric pylon. Yet it seems so much more than that. It has iconic status. So, King Japper, if you're listening, enabled to text, just use that finger and dial the number 0870 9090973, and we'll find out a bit more about it. Now, my name is Rufus Hound. I'm standing in for Ian Lee on London's LBC 97.3, and we're going to have a little break. Yes, you're listening to London's LBC 97.3. My name's Rufus Hand. I'm standing in for Ian Lee, who's on holiday. I've realised that having said that the switchboard was flashing all the time, most people are just ringing in to say, where's Ian? I'm sorry, it's such a crippling disappointment. But, you know, maybe together we will grow. I will find out more about you, you'll find out more about me. It could get almost erotic. Noel has texted in saying he can't believe people don't know England have got no chance of winning the World Cup in the next 50 years. Sorry about that. Well, Noel, where are you? Again, it's people texting in things they can't believe more people don't know. These need to be phone calls, people. Noel, that was too hit and run. I can see your text number there, but I don't know where you're from. What are you? Is it a Portuguese Noel? Is that what this is? Is it a French Noel? Are you responding to our earlier conversations about Christmas? Is it Noel? Noel, if you're out there, give us a ring. Somebody has... that's interesting. Somebody fired their boss. I fired my boss on my first day, BFIG5. Has anybody got any idea what that means? No. I fired my boss on my first day from BFIG5. Is it some kind of spy we're asking? MI5? Is it a coup? How do you fire your own boss? Were you employed possibly as a professional Alan Sugar impersonator and you got there on the first day and you inadvertently again, it's just asking more questions than it's possibly hoping to answer. Hello, Rufus. We all thought you'd been abducted. Welcome to LBC. Have a great show. Morel, God bless you. I'll be honest, I'm slightly panicking, as you can probably tell from the speed at which I'm speaking. But it's things like that, it's the love, Morel, that you're showing me, that will make these next 2 hours a little less fraught. Love you. Morel, that's a delicious thing that you've done. We're going to go away, but just before we do, like 0870 9090973. A lot of people texting in. Noel, King Jabba, and the person who said that you can change your birthday and there's a legal precedent for it in your will. Those are the sorts of things we need to know about. Texting is lovely. It's whetted my appetite, but it's like a little starter. It's like a little amuse-bouche. I actually need something a bit more meaty now, so get on the phones. 0870 9090973. We're talking about David Cameron, Explain. I find myself being drawn to him, and I know there are people out there with opinions about this. I just need to hear them. At the moment, I'm completely undecided. He does... He keeps coming out with stuff that I find myself agreeing with, and yet he's the leader of the Conservative Party. I'm feeling quite lost. Please let me know about that. Otherwise, things you can't believe more people don't know. There's no point with the hit-and-run text. I realise that now. That was entirely my own fault. You need to give us a ring about that. And finally, crimes and punishment. There are all sorts of things out there that must be crimes, but we haven't come up with the punishments for them just yet. Nobody's calling in about that, but there's got to be something out there that irks you, and there's got to be some solution that you've come up with to put that right. So, give us a ring, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back right after this. Give us a ring, 0870-9090-973. Just some random stream. Don't bother running that through the Da Vinci Code. That's London's 97.3. That's our phone number, 0870-9090-973. And we want you to ring in, basically because I'm very confused about all sorts. People have been giving me random facts recently. A lot of people in pubs stopping me. And really, it always strikes me that there are things out there worth knowing. As I said, the reason I was late today is I was up in Edinburgh, and we were driving along the Forth Road Bridge, and you can look out and see the railway bridge over the other side. And I turned to my companions and said, you know the expression, it's like painting the fourth bridge means something takes forever. It's because they employ two people to paint the fourth bridge. And they start at one end, they work their way through to the other, and then by the time they've finished, it's time to start back at the beginning. And everybody said, oh, that's a very interesting fact. But the Scottish cab driver who was in there just went, that's rubbish, that's an old wives' tale. They don't do that anymore. Basically, there are only bits of it that need painting, so they just go around doing those, which makes perfect sense. So it's, I'm running out of interesting things I can tell people, and essentially I think we can all share the pool of things that we should all know. So things you can't believe more people don't know, please give us a ring. 0870-9090-973. David Cameron as well. We were talking in the Gary, the producer out there. He was saying, so why do you feel you can't vote Tory? Why can't you vote Conservative? It's a very good point. I think it's because I spent the first 18 years of my life under Thatcher, and over that time, that's, you know, when you're kind of engendered with your world opinions and your views and things like that, and Maggie Thatcher, milk snatcher, when she took the milk away, it's just something within me. It feels like it's a terribly wrong thing to do, to vote Conservative. And even on the news there, you know, Cameron now, the friendly face. He is the blue Tony Blair, except we all sort of fairly disillusioned with Tony now. He's clinging on in there. So why is it that I now feel I could vote for a Conservative? It just seems a bit wrong. Am I right? Am I wrong? Can you help me? Give us a ring. 0870-9090-973. And finally, crime and punishment. We've been trying to come up with a few crimes in the studio. Weekend drinkers urinating in the street. Now, we've all seen that. It's very unpleasant. Although, bizarrely, it seems it's okay if you see a child doing it. If a child does it and is taken by their nan into a back alley, there's something bizarrely Victorian, quite, I don't know, acceptable? The acceptable face of public urination? I don't know. Is there one? But apparently in some towns, they force them to mop up the puddle, which is a rather good idea. I don't think that's been quite put forward in the environs around here in LBC. However, maybe a more fitting punishment, that they were forced to drink their own urine. Now, that wasn't my suggestion. That's somebody who I won't name out in the other room. Although I'm not even wondering about that, to be honest. Because if you've had that much booze, is your body properly filtering it anymore? If you did that, would you just keep getting more and more drunk? Would it be a cycle of alcohol? I'm not entirely sure. Now, I was late. I know. I keep going on about it. I'm very, very sorry. But I'm asking, if you've had a terrible first day at work, give us a ring. John in Kingston has done exactly that. God bless you, John. Hello.
Hello.
Are you well?
No, not really.
Why so?
Well, I'm sort of mentally disturbed, really. But
why is that?
No, it's fine.
It's fine?
No, I thought I'd give you a ring, because I know that you've probably, you know, you've had a difficult first batting.
No, John, I've had a very difficult first batting. It's a lovely cricket analogy you've used. And I apologise, because when you said you're mentally disturbed, I thought by something I'd said, I was worried that it was my fault. I'm glad to know it's a slightly more general thing. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Good. So was there anything specific you wanted to say, John?
Not really.
No. Not really? Did you watch the World Cup?
Give you a ring, you know.
Yeah, it's lovely.
See how you're doing.
I'm doing better now that you've rung, John, to be honest.
Yeah.
Did you watch the final?
What final?
The World Cup final.
No, I didn't. No. I was digging a hole.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, digging a hole.
I know how that feels, to be honest, John. For what purpose were you digging your hole?
Well, obviously to sit in.
Obviously. I mean, anything other than that would be a waste of digging a hole, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
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 I dug a hole once for my mum's pond.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I tell you something, it was a nightmare. She had a... you can buy these ponds, John.
Yeah.
And they're plastic. And they're already formed. Do you know the sort of thing I mean? You don't get a liner. They're already formed. But because they're split level, you've got to dig two holes and get it exactly right. Otherwise, they crack, apparently.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was a ruddy nightmare, to be honest, John.
Yeah, it was you need a laser level for that.
A laser level?
Yeah.
Does that work on a split level? I mean, I suppose you could...
No.
If you had a prism, that'd be quite useful, because then you could tilt it, obviously, at an exact 45-degree angle and make sure you'd levelled it off.
You could wang it off the moon or something.
Wang it off the moon?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, if you're going to point a laser at the moon and you're not a Bond villain and you're just digging a pond, it's probably a bit of a waste of energy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So,
have you had a look outside, by the way?
Have I? Well, not really, because it's sort of a studio with no windows that I'm in.
Is a full moon tonight.
There is a full moon tonight.
Yeah.
Don't they say that... you know, people go mad with a full moon?
Well, I think they grow more hair.
Right. Are you a fairly hirsute gentleman, John?
I am. I'm bristling as I speak.
Well, bristle away, old stick. Is that because of the full moon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fair enough. So, you've basically spent your day digging a hole...
Digging a hole, growing hair, looking at things that aren't level.
Yeah, and sitting in the hole that you've dug. So I've just got this...
You've been flying on a plane...
There are people at home who are hearing this, and they're only able to put together half of the mental image. Give us a bit about yourself. Are you quite a big lad?
I'm tall.
Tall? Yeah. Okay, quite slight though, quite slim?
Slim, yeah.
Bald or full head of hair?
No, bald.
Bald? So imagining a bald, hairy man...
Bald, hairy man.
...sitting in a hole that he's dug himself, looking out at the moon, enjoying his bristling hair.
Yes.
Well, John, you said you had no reason to ring, but why the heck you wouldn't think more people wanted to picture that at 11 minutes past 11 is beyond me. Thank you so much for ringing. Was there anybody you wanted to dedicate the phone call to?
To everyone out there who doesn't understand anything at all.
Well, that would certainly include me. Thank you so much for ringing, John. John there, he was in Kingston. And I think on the subject of things that more people should know, Kevin in Grays has also given us a ring. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Oh, Kevin, I'm just better. Sometimes when I just hear those opening tones of somebody else's voice, I just feel so much better.
That was a bit surreal, that conversation, wasn't it?
Sorry?
That last call was a bit surreal, that conversation, wasn't it?
It was a bit surreal. I quite liked that early doors, he declared that he was mentally unbalanced. Because really, from there on in, you knew where it was going to go or not going to go.
Well, he's setting his stall out straight away, so you know.
He really was. Yeah, it was a nice thing. I think we might send
him... Yeah, there was no grey areas there, was there?
No. No, I mean, to be honest, I think my own feelings about the phone call were shaped when I asked him why he dug the hole.
Yeah,
and for
exactly.
Sitting in. It's nice. Now, Kevin, you've called us because there are things more people should know, but before we do that, let me ask you, is there anybody you want to dedicate the phone call to?
My lovely girlfriend. She's at home at the moment. Oh, she's in bed probably watching a movie.
She's in bed watching a movie?
Probably. She's watching...
A saucy movie? Is that the kind of thing that she's...
Well, a bit of Bruce Willis, I think. I think he's killing her. few million people all at once.
Well,
Channel 5.
I suppose that's romantic in a certain light. Now, what are these? What is the thing you think more people should know, Kev?
Well, do you know the when you've got a text message come through on your phone, it goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Do you remember that? Not many people use it now because they've all got personalised messages, haven't they?
Yes.
But you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do. It goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's Morse code for you have a message.
Is it really?
Yeah, there you go.
That's a magnificent fact.
Yeah.
Is it? Hang on. It's Morse code.
Yeah. For you have a message.
For you have a message. So,
yeah.
See, I always thought that Morse code was always just letters and numbers. But they were abbreviated, so that...
No, Morse code is a series of long and short dashes, isn't it?
Yes.
As
if to prove a point, Kev.
Yeah.
That's just in case people aren't sure what a series of long and short dots and dashes would sound like. That was a beautiful recounting.
Well, I am to please.
You're pleasing me left, right and centre.
I could have dig a hole in the garden and sit in it, couldn't I?
Yeah, I mean, that's... And look at the beautiful full moon with your arm hair bristling.
Yeah, right. I think I'd rather hot spoon my own eyes, I think.
Hot spoon your own eyes?
Yeah.
Surely not. Let's be honest. If somebody now handed you a hot spoon, said apply those to your own eyes, or dig a hole in your garden and sit in it, surely you're going to take the hole?
I don't know. Well, the hole seems like a long drawn-out affair, doesn't it? Hot spoon's over and done with in a couple of seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, although I would have mean a life spent there afterwards essentially blind, probably less useful.
Yeah, true. Mate, you're right.
So the point was, I would have thought the Morse code for you have a message would have been Y, you know, da-da-da-da, whatever that is, O, da-da-da-da, U. But that's what I mean. Are there abbreviations?
Yeah, but they are very quick. You know, when you think that you send Morse code at roughly about 80 words a minute.
You can send Morse code at 80 words a minute?
Yeah, the Russians used to send it at about 120.
That's incredible. Sorry, I'm working out how quickly that would be. I mean, that's... Are you sure? Is it not 60? Is it surely it's 120 characters a minute? It can't be full-blown words.
Honestly, they really, really, really are quick. I was in the Royal Navy for 22 years, so I've come across this quite a bit, like, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, and when it's like when you send Morse through flashlight as well, it's sent really, really quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. So basically, when people hear the SMS, da 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 da, that is Morse code for you have a message.
Yeah.
That's what you believe more people should know. I agree with you, Kevin. Thank you very much. And that call dedicated to your lovely girlfriend. Thank you, Kevin. Remember, you can get in touch with us 0870 9090 973 with more things that you can't believe more people don't know.
Real listeners talk about London's LBC.
Real London. Real Rufus Hound. Not real Ian Lee. He's away on holiday. Brilliantly, people already beginning to text in with things they can't believe more people don't know. William in Sutton says that he can't believe more people don't know that by law no less, the Prime Minister has to be able to speak fluent Spanish. William, it's a brilliant fact. But do you know more about it? There are people now ringing in who've got all sorts of crazy facts. They're dialing 870-90-90-973. It's a great fact. Somebody else has texted in saying, Rufus, David Cameron is doing everything he can and promises he can't deliver so he can be the next Prime Minister. Well, yes. I mean, I get why he's saying these things. I understand that there is a political race. That's very much the job of the politician, is to try and get elected. The thing that I don't understand is, how can I be so easily swayed? I'm being drawn to the true blue, the Tory way. It doesn't feel right. I need you to remind me why I can't vote Conservative. But thank you very much for texting in. Philip in South Norwood has texted with another thing he can't believe more people don't know, and that is that the record for haggis throwing is 180 feet 10 inches set in 1984. Well, to be honest, Philip, I think most people already knew that. Now, Joyce, she's in Bromley. Hello, Joyce.
Hello. Now, what I'm ringing up about, you say you all keep saying Margaret Thatcher the milk snatcher.
Yes.
Well, I worked in the school, and that milk was wasted. All of it was wasted. Some of the kids would just take out a little bottle, take two mouthfuls and put it back. And at the end of the day, the milkman had to go around and pick all them up. And my husband was a milkman, so I know this is true.
Right.
So, I mean, that was the best thing she ever done, actually, because I used to work with a couple of other ladies and we used to say what an absolute waste it was. Nobody wanted it. The kids didn't want to drink it. And even you might get, they take one little bottle out, perhaps take out two mouthfuls.
They were little third pint bottles, as I remember.
Yes, that's right. Those kids didn't want that milk. That was at the stage when they were beginning to, kids were wanting these fizzy drinks.
Now, it's interesting, because there was a report yesterday that I think the British health food market now is worth about 80 million quid. And at the same time, you've had things like, did you see that Jamie's School Dinners?
No.
Did you see any of that? Well, basically, he was all bent out of shape because kids were eating rubbish and not eating lots of fruit and veg.
Oh, I heard about it, yes.
Yeah, it was all over the news, and he went to Tony Blair with a big petition and things. It was quite good, Joyce. It was a shame you missed it. But the thing is, now kids are at the vending machine, they're drinking the Coca-Cola, the teeth are rotting out of their heads, all that kind of thing.
Well, that's right. But, I mean, you can't force children to drink milk. I can assure
you. Can
you
not? How big are you, Joyce?
Pardon?
How big are you? Surely you, just standing over a child, demanding they drink their milk, maybe with a threat of violence, you could make a child drink some milk, couldn't you?
You couldn't. You know very well you couldn't threaten them with violence, and you couldn't make them drink it. We used to have about four or five crates, because I worked in the lunchtime.
Right.
And we'd be all round the playground asking them if they wanted to drink the milk. And they'd all go, oh, no.
Right. Okay, here's an idea. What if you taped a straw into their mouth, then held their nose? Surely the basic vacuum effects...
You wouldn't be allowed to do it, you see.
But if they try and breathe in, the milk will go in.
No, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. I mean, I don't work there now, I'm retired, but I'm talking about when I worked there, and I do know this, and I know my husband used to say that all the men used to moan because they had to go at the end of the day to pick up all these half-empty milk bottles, and all of them were perhaps, you know, they'd only had a mouthful taken out of them.
What did you do at the school, Joyce?
Well, I worked as a one-to-one helper, and then I worked looking after them at lunchtime.
Okay.
Looking after children at lunchtime.
Well, that's... So, here's an idea. Somebody like you, rather than the individual third pint bottles of milk, right, you have a jug of milk, and then you can give them a cup of milk. Then only the ones that want it can have it.
Well, that might have been a better idea, but you see, what people don't realise, these kids do not want the milk. I don't know why, but they would never drink it. And in the summer, it will go off, and you'd smell it in the school all day.
Yeah.
And well, it'd be a horrible smell.
Joyce, you've said the best thing Thatcher ever did was take the milk away from the children.
Yes, I did.
And is there anybody that you want to dedicate that phone call to?
Well, no, not really.
No, because frankly, you're sick fed up with people saying that it was a bad idea to take away the milk.
Well, I do, and it makes me so annoyed because I worked in the school and I saw what happened. And the waste, and my husband was a milkman, and he used to say about they go round and pick up all these bottles, half-empty bottles from the schools. And my husband used to say, he said, I don't know why they give milk. He said, because they don't drink it. I said, well, I know they don't.
Yeah.
I said, we used to go around lunchtime saying, would anybody like milk? Ooh, no. No, thank you.
Well, there we have it. That's the voice of experience, Joyce in Bromley. Joyce, thank you so much for ringing in. Enjoy the rest of your time reflecting over non-lactose appreciating infants. Matthew, you're on the M25, and you've got a dispute for us.
I do indeed. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Matthew. Are you driving?
I am driving at the moment.
Have you got the Bluetooth hands-free?
It's on loudspeaker, so yeah, I'm able to speak.
Okay, good. I wouldn't want you breaking the law. We've already had people saying about Crimes and Punishment, people misusing cars. Where have you been, Matthew?
I've just been to Southend to visit a parent, and I'm on the way back now.
Did you grow up in Southend?
No, I'm from Ilford originally.
Okay.
But living in Hatfield now, and just on the commute back.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Are you working tomorrow?
Indeed, yeah, bright and early.
What are you doing?
I work for a company called Hot Property, an internet portal for properties. So it's my job to get more properties onto the website.
And it's a lovely plug for them. Now, what is your dispute, Matthew?
Well, I heard the guy come on talking about the SMS messaging and saying that means you've got a message.
Yes.
Well, quite simply, although I will be the first to admit that I don't know the most about Morse code, and I could well be wrong, I'm strongly under the impression that is Morse code for the letters SMS.
Now, that would make perfect sense.
It's a bit more logical, and we are both under the impression that it is just dots and dashes that represents the letters.
Yeah, rather than there being shortcuts.
Yeah, but if you were to think about it, it follows it at the end, so surely if it's at the beginning and at the end, it's likely that could be the SMS.
And, you know, I'm thinking back to the film Titanic, and when they were sending out the SOS, I'm pretty sure it was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Because it's dot 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 dash 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 dot 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 for SOS. So da 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 at the top and da 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 at the end would be S and S. The question is M represented by two dashes?
Well, we'll have to find out from someone who actually knows Morse code better than both of us.
It was interesting because the geezer who rang said he worked in the Navy and had to use flashlights and things to send Morse code.
Very confident, which made me question myself, but I thought. Even if you were getting a lot of little words and letters out in a very short space of time, it's unlikely that you could just use such a small number of dots and dashes to represent an entire phrase like you have a message.
Yes, and especially I always think you have a message is now something that we think of as more of a phrase as a result of email, because people signed up to that internet service provider, and that, you know, you've got mail, all that business, you have a message, seems to me sort of quite. I think you're right. I think it is, because it's an SMS text message, it would make sense if it was Morse code for SMS. Matthew, you're finding properties tomorrow for your website. Good luck with that. Was there anybody you wanted to dedicate that phone call to?
Oh, absolutely. My dad, who's in the final stages of getting a bit better. He's got a bit of a broken leg at the moment, but I wish him the best with it.
A bit of a broken leg, as opposed to... I'm taking the mic there, and it's your dad, and you've rung him with a great call, and I refuse...
exactly.
I refuse to take the mickey. Thank you very, very much for ringing in, Matthew.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me, and I wish you a good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Safe driving around the M25. The topics, what Matthew's ringing in about, is a response to a call that we had earlier, which is things you can't believe more people don't know. Somebody rang in and said the beeps and the dots and all that meant you have a message. Matthew clearly thought, and I'm inclined to agree now, that it's actually the Morse code for SMS. So if you know something that you think more people should know, give us a ring, 08709090973. I'm still waiting for people to talk to me about David Cameron. Why? Just refresh my memory. Why I can't vote Conservative? I know I can't. I forget. He's a very good-looking, you know, seems like a good prospect. Sort of a... Just refresh my memory. Thanks very much. And Crime and Punishment. There are all sorts of things that irritate this, that irritate everybody, and yet they go unpunished. Give us a ring. Let us know what it is that needs to be represented, first of all, as a crime, and secondly, the most accurate punishment you can think to let these ne'er-do-wells not get off scot-free as they have been up until this point. You're listening to London's LBC 97.3. My name's Rufus Hound. I'm standing in for Ian Lee. I also haven't practiced properly making sure that I talk for long enough. So that's quite a weird pause there. See, basically, the reason I want you to ring in is this is my first day on the job. It's a nerve-wracking thing. See, I listen to the show all the time. And people out there are a lot more intelligent than I am. There's very few people out there who'd have the kind of problems I've been having. At least you'd be able to get in on time, whatever. So give us a ring. You know the topics. Get involved, especially if you know Morse code. 84850, give us a text if you know about Morse code. Thanks.
Lots of people have made money from...
Ian Lee on London's LBC 97.3. Again, Matt, he was listening before, and Joyce, who said she worked at schools, and she was sick but up of saying people saying that Thatcher had taken the milk away. That milk never did anybody any good. It was being wasted by kids, completely and utterly useless. Well, Matt, he's taken the time to text in and said that he went to school and liked his milk. Does Joyce think if she kept repeating her point, it would become true? Matt, I've got no idea. She's off the line now. But thank you for ringing in. I have to say, I like a nice glass of milk. It's one of those odd things. I think people either like a glass of milk or they don't. I remember having a girlfriend who didn't, like, couldn't work out why you would, you know, she barely had any on cereal and things like that. I quite like a glass of milk. Chocolate milk. Yeah, a little splash of tea. What? Mr. T. Mr. T liked his milk, absolutely. John Wayne. I don't know what the film was. But I remember the quote, get off your horse and drink your milk. That's got to be a good thing. So, milk, should it even be brought back? Joyce thought it was only ever wasted, frankly. But Matt has texted in and said he enjoyed it. Where do you stand on the great milk debate? Joyce, for one, thought it was the best thing Margaret Thatcher ever did. And when you consider how long she was in office, for the pinnacle of her political career to have been removing milk from children, that's quite something. Now, things that you think more people should know. Doris from Ongar has rung in. Hello, Doris.
Hello, Rufus.
Are you well?
A little bit about milk.
Yeah, go on.
We always had milk at school. I can actually still remember how those milk crates smelt with all that milk in it. But the point is, none of us really liked the milk, but that was told what it was good for. It was calcium and you won't lose your teeth and all that.
Yeah.
And we just used to drink it with a straw.
Yeah.
It was good, a little break.
Good for your bones.
From the class, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get away from the lessons for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have a little laugh around and drink our milk.
Very nice, too.
Yeah, I mean, no, it didn't do us any harm. Probably did. I still got my own teeth, any rate, so I don't have to go
by. Well, Doris, you sound delightful. It doesn't sound like milk's done you any harm at all.
No, no. How are you, Rufus? All right?
I am very well, thank you, Doris. Good, thank you for ringing in.
I was going to tell you about things people say.
Ah.
Well, when I was at work, there was this girl. She used to annoy me intensely.
Can we get because radio is all about painting pictures.
Right.
In people's
well, I was
minds.
At work, and there was about 50 men in there and 3 girls. Well,
and what were you doing? Because it sounds at the moment like it might have been some sort of gentleman's club.
It was, you know, electronics, wiring.
Okay.
You know, it was like big units we used to, you know, do the cable forms. I was a cable former. Anyway. She was not a young person, she was about 40, and she used to, she drove, and there was nothing that she would say, oh, she shouldn't know.
Yeah.
But every time I used to eat this apple, she used to annoy me intensely.
Right.
She used to say, Doris, why are you eating cooking apples? And I'd say, they're not a cooking apple, they're Granny Smith's. I know they're green, I said, but they're sweet. They're not cooking apples.
Yeah.
People are ringing and tell you they're not cooking apples.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't have it, and every time I came on, Are you eating those cooking apples again? And I said, no, they're not. I need to go over it every time. She never got them. She said, no, they're definitely, they're cooking apples.
So she was an otherwise intelligent woman.
I gave
woman.
Up in the end. She wore me out. And I thought to myself, no, I said, well, it's up to you. If you think they're cooking apples, I said, but I tell you what, I'll bring you one in and you can try it for yourself and you'll see it's sweet. And it's, no, I will not eat cooking apples, she said. Well,
so
anyway,
did you ever see her with an apple?
No, never, ever. See. Never seen her with an apple.
No.
That's why I offered her. I thought, if I brought her one in, I wasn't quite generous, and she can eat one of these Granny Smiths, but she wouldn't eat it. She wouldn't eat it. It's a cooking apple.
Just because it was bright green.
That's it. She just took it, literally, and I couldn't think anybody could sort of, you know, just because it was green.
Yeah.
Sweet. You've had a Granny, have you had a Granny Smith's apple? It's a green apple.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's sweet.
I tell you, I like a Bramley apple.
Bramley, yes.
Have you had a, there's a, I saw
it's
some the other day.
It's a brown one, isn't it?
A
it's
pink,
a browny colour, isn't it?
Well, it can be slightly dappled on the top.
I know.
But also, that's what I was going to ask. Did you only ever have the Granny Smith?
No, I didn't.
What else were you having?
Sometimes I used to like Worcesters.
Worcesters?
Well, I don't know if you can get them now.
I don't think I've ever had a Worcester.
There was one that used to call Beauty of the Bath.
Right.
Have you heard of that one? It was called Beauty of the Bath. It was like a Worcester.
Yeah.
And it looked like that. And that was a red one. And then she turned around and said, I'm glad to see you're eating apples. And we used to go all through that. And I thought, oh, God.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Get off my back, I used to think. And then there was another girl. She said to me, I said, I'm going to get some beetroot, I said to this. She was about 25, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some beetroot.
Old enough to know what a beetroot was, certainly.
Well, but she said, I said, I'm going to do greengrocers to get some beetroot. No, she said, you can't get it in the greengrocers. I said, of course you can get it in the greengrocers. It only comes in jars. And she would argue. I said, look, I said, go along when you're into greengrocers next time and ask him for a beetroot.
Yeah.
I said, you can get them cooked or uncooked if you want to cook them yourself.
Yeah. Now,
they come in jars. That was the second one. It's a really annoying thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, how stupid can they be?
All you wanted was a bit of ruddy beetroot, yes, crying out, and this woman's giving you aggro.
Yeah, and you know,
between her and the apple lady, I'm surprised you didn't go ruddy crazy.
Well, it was all in the same place. That one, this was in the hairdresser's, the other one where I was in.
Okay.
She used to wash my hair.
Right.
She used to drive me cracker. She didn't. I mean, she was. Well, she was a hairdresser as well. You know, she, yeah, she was washing my hair when she said it. And the other one was the red banana as well. All right, they're not all that commonly seen in the supermarket, but they're there. They're slightly smaller than the big yellow ones, and they're a lot sweeter.
But red bananas.
Red bananas. And nobody seems like, oh, you can't get red bananas. Of course you can get red bananas.
I'm looking around, Doris. Nobody here's heard of a red banana.
Have you seen one, Rufus?
I don't think I have.
Well, they used to.
I think there are, and again, I'm no expert, please, there are people out there who will be, and they should absolutely get in touch. But the only thing I've seen that I think is anywhere even banana-esque is a plantain, I think.
Oh, no, this is a red banana. It's slightly smaller than the big bananas.
Right.
Quite small.
Like a banana, well, but red.
Oh, it's the same shape. It's exactly the same, but it's just
a red banana.
They're quite sweet.
Yeah.
A lot sweeter.
Right.
I don't like them all that much myself, because I think they're too sweet, because they're so much more sweeter than an ordinary banana. You
right.
know, the ordinary yellow banana. And that was the three things that I thought of, you know.
Food, people giving you a hard time when all you wanted was a snack, essentially.
Mm, but it does annoy you when they come up with things that they really should know.
Yeah.
I mean, another thing that used to make me laugh, but I have to laugh at this one, because this girl had woodblock flooring. Well,
right.
I've got woodblock flooring in my house, but she had woodblock flooring all through, the same as me.
What's a...
well, you know, like parquet flooring.
Yeah, yeah, parquet flooring. Wood flooring. It's like a floor, but wood.
Yeah, you parquet, or... Actually, it's very popular at the moment. Everybody's buying it, aren't they, for their floors.
Well, I'll be honest, I think a lot of it is not quite the real McCoy. A lot of it's plastic, wood effect flooring.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't been examining it, but I'm talking about the real stuff.
I mean,
know?
A good one will look like wood, but
I'm
it's not
I'm talking
about
wood. African teak flooring, I'm talking about, you know, the real...
It's not cheap.
Wood. Yeah. And she had the same as what I had.
Right.
And she said, what do you polish your floors with? Well, I said, I hadn't sealed mine, and she hadn't sealed hers. You can seal them, and then you don't really need to touch them, I don't think.
Okay.
Well, I used to put a wood polish on it, you know, which was for wood.
I mean, it was a wood floor, for crying out
yeah,
loud,
you'd put
Doris.
A wood polish on it, wouldn't you?
You would. I mean,
you're
there's no point in
what
putting
put on it.
If you, what, Brasso?
No, she put shoe polish on it. Dark brown. I'm not kidding you. And you know, they're only small tins, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
And there she was when I went in there, and I said, what on earth are you doing down there?
Yeah.
And she had this little tiny tin of shoe polish.
Unbelievable.
And she was really quite an intelligent girl.
Yeah.
She really was.
She just thought, she was probably just sat there thinking, well, polish is polish.
That's it. Well, she
but
did
it's
say
not,
that.
Is it?
No, it's not.
You want a wood polish for a wood floor and a shoe polish for a shoe.
Exactly.
That's why they put the names on the tins.
This is silly, stupid things, you know what I mean? I thought I'd just tell you those things.
I wonder what she used to brush her teeth with.
Don't know.
Oh, exactly.
Don't know. Well, she could be brushing her teeth with salt, couldn't she? That's all they used during the war, and after, I mean, I was around in during the war, and we used to have to use salt.
Well, I'll tell you what my mum used to tell me. My mum used to tell me if you didn't have time to brush your teeth, which was never, you know, never really on the cards, but if you didn't have time to brush your teeth, if you ate an apple, it was just as good for your teeth.
Exactly.
So it all goes cyclically. Doris, you're in Ongar, and you have been a gem. Was there anybody you wanted to dedicate this phone call to?
No, not really, no.
Well, thank you for ringing,
and
nonetheless.
Enjoy your programme.
Thank you, and God bless you for ringing. I genuinely appreciate it. That was Doris in Ongar. Thank you. We've found out all sorts there, and I don't know about you, but I feel better for it. We've got Jessica. You're in the Docklands. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Rufus.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, you seem to have got your breath back a little bit.
Oh, do you know something? It's the first day on the new job. Quite nervous about that anyway. I mean, bear in mind, we're not talking about some rinky-dink radio station. This is London's LBC 97.3. You want to do a good job. Then all the pressure of getting here, I tell you, I've just felt a little bit flustered from there on in.
At what point during the day did you really know that you weren't going to make it on time? I mean, was there a point where you thought, I'm up against the clock here and I'm losing?
It was the point where the plane which was already delayed, bear in mind, but I thought, do you know something? If I can just get off this plane first and run, I still might be there by 10.
Yeah.
And instead, I kid you not, it sat in the middle of Heathrow. You know all those tube things that come out that you walk down and to get into the main airport?
Uh-huh.
We weren't even near one of those.
I know.
They're just in the middle of the tarmac, and then these coaches came out to get us. But it was that. It was when once I realised that even once we'd landed, having gone round and round in circles, even then the gods were against me.
Exactly. I mean, I commute to us a couple of times a week, and from the second that I open my eyes and I know I have to get down to London, I'm up against the clock. It's this, like, mental arithmetic happens in your head, doesn't
yes.
it? You start deducting things.
Yeah.
And no matter, whenever you're in a rush, people will delay you. And though it wouldn't normally bother you, when you're being kind of up against the clock and they're delaying you, you know, you just start, the fingers start going against your knee and you just have to breathe a little bit deeper.
Now,
so you made it in the end, didn't you? So
well, yeah, I mean, you know, fortunately, with the Library of Clive Bull stuff, I think, you know, to be honest, people, you know, don't mind so much because they get to hear a bit of Clive.
Exactly.
But we got going in the end.
I've got a fact for you.
Jessica, I want to hear your fact, but I also want to say thank you, not only for ringing in, but also because you've made me realise I'm not the only one.
I mean, I do it all the time.
That thing of where you're in a rush and you see other people and all you want to do is push them out of the way.
Yeah.
Kill them.
Yeah,
you've said it. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jessica.
But ultimately, it will just make you feel worse, so you have to stay calm.
See, you're taking the long-term approach, Jessica.
Exactly.
Thank you. Anyway, your fact. Oh, and before we get underway, anybody you want to dedicate this phone call to?
No.
Right, okay. Your fact.
23% of all photocopier faults worldwide are caused by people sitting on the photocopier and photocopying their buttocks.
23%?
Worldwide.
Of all photocopier malfunctions or accidents?
Faults.
Faults, sorry.
When you have to call the engineer out, it's because somebody has sat on there to photocopy their bum.
Which would imply...
It would imply that there's a lot of foolish people, really, because it's a bit childish and silly. And if you think that there's probably about, well, a conservative estimate, maybe 250,000 photocopier faults worldwide every day.
Okay, we'll go for that. A 250,000 photocopier faults every day.
That would mean that about 60,000 people every day are photocopying their buttons.
It also implies, and again, maybe it's just me, but it also implies that photocopiers would go wrong, normally, just because, you know, things go wrong with machines.
Sure.
So the fact that 23% of faults go as a result of people photocopying also implies that about 1 in 4 photocopies worldwide are of somebody's bum.
Exactly. Have you ever done that, Rufus?
I have never photocopied my bum.
Well.
But I have photocopied my hand.
Okay.
Not that interesting, but anybody who's got work tomorrow and wants to liven things up a bit,
exactly.
Here's a little tip. If you put your hand on the photocopier, and then you time it, and you slide your hand along the glass in time with the little laser thing that's pointing up, then you eventually get a photocopy of your own hand where it looks like your fingers are about 18 inches long.
Well, I've told you a fact and you've told me one. We've all learned something.
We've all shared, we've all learnt, we've all moved on.
Well, have a good rest of your show.
Thank you, Jessica in Docklands. Not dedicating that phone call to anybody, but even if you don't want to join in, you can still have a phone call dedicated to you. Just give us a text on 84850. Are we doing something now, then? Okay, let's have a little moment's pause. Currently here belongs to me, Rufus Hound. I'm standing in for Ian Lee. Well, he's away. Well, I tell you something. If you were listening, we were speaking to Joyce a little while ago, who said that milk not being in schools any longer was the best thing Thatcher ever did. And there has been, I kid you not, a torrent, a deluge of people wanting to make absolutely clear that is not the case. One here from Chris says that kids didn't drink milk because it was left out in the warm. Warm milk is foul. I work in a school, and each class keeps it in cool boxes, and the kids do drink it. So, Joyce, you worked in a school. You said that there was no way those kids were touching the milk. Chris works in a school, and apparently kids now are drinking the milk. Somebody else texted him with Adini forced to drink milk as a child. Oh, it was Adini was forced to drink milk as a child, and it's turned... They write, it's turned me off for life. I work with kids now, and 9 out of 10 of them turn their noses up at milk too. Again, somebody works in a school. I thought it was going back the way that kids should have milk. Joyce, you've got another supporter in Adini. The one more about the milk was, I was forced to drink the milk at school, and it was always warm with lumps in. and it always stank. As a result, they now have a milk phobia. Even talking about milk makes me wretch. Can we stop the topic now, please, from Ange in Barnet? I would love to stop the topic, Ange in Barnet, but I've got a feeling people will want to keep this rolling with their own milk-related tales. It seems, I think, you're probably onto something, though, the fact that it was warm. Warm milk, you've always got to put milk back in the fridge, haven't you? I mean, I can't even make a cup of tea. It starts to go a bit yoghurty. And that's very, very unpleasant. But a nice cold glass of milk, you can't go wrong. I think even Derren Brown at the moment's doing adverts for the Milk Marketing Board, saying something spooky and looking into the picture at you and altering your mind to become milk-reliant. I don't know quite what's going on there. But if you have a milk point, then by all means, let us know about it. I've also been asking about why do I feel myself strangely drawn to David Cameron. Please, can you just tell me again why I can't vote Conservative? A rather lovely text has come in, which reads thus. Rufus, that's me. David Cameron, Anne Widdecombe, Jeffrey Archer, Nick Ferrari, etc. He's left it there. There's a dot, 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 technically known as an ellipsis. That from Dave in New Eltham. Thank you, Dave. Also, it's fine for you to vote for Cameron. There are lots of famous Tories. Tory Amos, Tory Spelling. Marvellous. And he also writes, I sound delicious. Right, I don't know what sex you are. I don't know whether you're male or female. But being called delicious at 11:50 is something that's absolutely magnificent. And I thank you for it. Thatcher was a milk Thatcher. The milk topic then still on the run. I've tried talking about politics. I don't know enough about it really to be in any way informed, but milk, clearly the big topic that the people of London want to talk about tonight. And Sylvia, you're in Hendon.
Hello, Rufus.
Hello, Sylvia. How are you?
I'm really enjoying this programme. The only trouble about you being half hour late is we missed half hour of it.
Sylvia.
But you're making up for it with the rest.
This show is going to be all the harder to do if I'm crying because you're too lovely.
That was meant to be a compliment.
It was. It felt like a compliment. Are you well? Before we get underway, anybody you want to dedicate the phone call to?
Yes, I'd love to dedicate it to my friend Kath. I'm sure she'll be listening.
Well, Kath, if you're out there, consider this one for you.
Thank you.
Now, Thatcher was a snatcher.
She was a snatcher, and I went so far as to write to her about it, but then that's the sort of person I am. But the reason, my son used to love cold milk, but the milk that was delivered to the schools was left in the crates in the sun, and when you went to it, it had thick cream, which was really horrible.
Yeah.
And as the lady said, they took a couple of mouthfuls and put it back in the crate.
Yeah.
Because if that had been cold milk, they'd have loved it.
Right.
But it wasn't cold milk. It was almost on the turn because it had been sitting in the sun. We're going back 30, 35 years.
No, but I'm not that old, Sylvia. And, I mean, certainly, even when I was a younger man, I absolutely remember there being, you know, the milk that was left out. And the thing was, the few of us who really liked the milk used to race there to get there before it had gone warm.
That's right, that's right. But the chances were the session to drink the milk was long after the milk had been delivered and been sitting in the sun.
Yeah.
So
we're hearing it. I tell you what, Sylvia, we're hearing it time and time again.
I realise I'm on the end of a long queue.
No, I don't mean it in that way at all. I'm certainly not being offish towards you.
No, you're not.
Everybody texting in at least to make their point about the milk is saying it was the fact it was warm. It wasn't the milk itself.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
Are you any the wiser about the properties of milk?
I love milk, and the calcium in the milk is really good for you.
It's calcium. It's good for the bones.
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's about as much as I know about. I know I was told as a younger man, you should drink milk, it's good for your bones. But then I think once you stop growing, once you get past the age of about 18 or something,
it starts making you fat.
It starts making you fat. And now I know lots of, because I sometimes present a music show on the television,
yes.
Which is coming to an end rather sadly, but I know quite a few singers and that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them will not drink milk for, like, the day before, because apparently it's very bad for your voice.
Oh, really?
So I'm told.
It couldn't make my voice any worse, though.
Oh, Sylvia, don't make me trace this call and come round and cuddle you. Neither of us want that to happen.
Don't make me envious.
Sylvia, you've got a lovely voice and you've got a lovely friend in Kath to whom that call went out. And thank you for talking to us about the milk.
And I look forward to hearing you again very, very soon.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. That was Sylvia in Hendon. Now, we're not only talking about milk, although certainly we're happy to. If you've got any information that hasn't been related about milk, then that would surely be something that you can't believe more people didn't know. And that is coming on a long list of things that we want you to let us know about. Things you can't believe more people don't know. Alex writes, something more people should know was that you can use white vinegar to dissolve limescale in kettles and washing machines. It works wonderfully. That is a great fact. That is exactly the sort of thing that you want from this topic. White vinegar. Because you can get all that stuff now, all the sprays, they cost an absolute packet, and they, you know, they take all the limescale off and what have you. But a bit of white vinegar. Is white vinegar particularly cheap? I'm looking out because I don't really buy white vinegar. We're not sure. I'm thinking, is it like balsamic vinegar, where you end up, you're cheaper off buying a special product? We don't know. Probably. We think maybe. We'll find out. If maybe you know, you can text in. That, of course, on 84850. Now, who else is texting in? Maristella in Woodford. She thinks that people should be aware of the fact that Italy are the best. Well, that's been proven tonight, hasn't it? Italy are the best. They've won the World Cup. It came down to penalties. I didn't watch it. I was on a plane. But I understand it went very well. Give us a ring. You can talk about milk. You can talk about more things that people should know that you can't believe they don't know. The number 0870-9090-973.
These windows sorted before we go on holiday. www.bacwindows.co.uk. Wow! Amazing prices. Interest-free credit, security locks, yep. And look at this front door deal. What's the number? 0800-666-444. That's all the sixes and all the fours for BAC Windows and Doors. Hello, BAC.
BAC Windows, Doors and Conservatories.
Terms and conditions apply.
London's LBC 97.3.
With Rufus Hound. I'm just trying to do the voice there so it makes it sound like I've got my own jingles, which I don't. It's the first time I've been on, to be honest. Now, here's a rather exciting thing to tell you about. Thames Water Week. It's coming soon with James O'Brien. Basically, here at LBC, we're looking for two families who are willing to share their water habit with James and the rest of London. Each of the families will spend 2 weeks monitoring their water usage. Then during Water Week on London's LBC 97.3, to which you're currently listening, one of those two families will get the chance to spend £1,000 on a new water-efficient bathroom. It's brilliant. A water-efficient bathroom. Of course, you know, it's all part of ecology. We're all trying to save water at the moment and do the recycling. And I've been saying for ages, oh, I'd really love it if the leader of a big political party would get right behind the idea we should all be a bit more green. And who's it end up being? Blinking David Cameron. I can't bring myself to vote Conservative. And please keep reminding me why I can't. Because at the moment I'm feeling almost swayed towards the blue way. And I can't have that. But maybe there is a part of ecology that is even more relevant. And Bill in Bromley, you can tell us about that. Can you? No. I don't think you can at the moment. I'm sorry, Bill. It's entirely my fault. I was looking at a different list altogether. I thought somebody was going to tell us about something else. Bill, you're actually ringing to talk about drinking milk.
Yeah, well, I went to school just after the war. We used to get the milk. And
yeah.
The school used to put it under the tables, which kept it cool.
Okay.
And in the winter,
yeah,
it used to be put out from the radiators, you know?
Right.
So it never got hot. And
so in the summer you'd stick it under the table and
went back for seconds if there were any there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how much you liked your milk.
Lovely.
Marvellous.
Because we had the old cod liver oil capsule with it.
Cod liver oil capsule and milk?
Well, we had to have that because basically it was a supplement just after the war years when things
now,
were short.
I would have thought from all the people who are ringing in, somebody else would have mentioned cod liver oil. And nobody has. I didn't even... You see, you used to get a cod liver oil tablet and a glass of milk, or a little bottle of milk.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and do you find, as far as you were concerned, it made you feel like you were growing up big, tall and strong?
Yeah, and everybody enjoyed it. I just don't understand where these people are coming from.
Yeah, neither can I. Okay. But you always liked the nice cold milk.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
It wasn't actually freezing cold, but, I mean, it wasn't warm.
Chilled. It wasn't. It didn't feel like it was going off. Bill, thank you very much for that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know what to do by now. Give us a ring, give us a text, get involved. Bill wanted to talk about milk. He's done that now. Do you? Give us a ring, 0870 9090 973, or any one of the plethora of other topics that we're talking about here on London's LBC 97.3.
FM, on DAB and online, this is London's LBC.
If you want to talk about absolutely anything at all, it seems that everybody's getting very head up about the milk issue, and why wouldn't you? We've got calls coming in about that already, and indeed some people texting, very, very upset about milk in general. If that's what you want to talk about, absolutely brilliant. 0870 9090 973. Otherwise, I've been thinking about my day overall. I was obviously very late for work, and some people very kindly pointing out that it wasn't a big issue, and that things were all right in the end, and thank goodness for that. But looking back over my day, I think pretty much everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong. Not only, and I've already bored you with the story of why I was so late, but moreover, I just remembered that today, the reason that I've come in looking a bit dishevelled, to be honest, I was in the Tea in the Park Festival, a huge music festival up in Edinburgh, flew back to do this show. Somebody threw a pint of cider at me, and it went in my eye. I just rubbed my eye and realised it was a bit stickier than it should have been. Somebody threw a pint of... I was doing some links for a show that will be out, you know, it's like the best bits of this Tea in the Park Festival, and somebody threw some cider in my eye. So there we are. That's that. I've just... Yeah. What should be a punishment for throwing cider in somebody's eye? Well, that was one of the things that were very brilliant, if you could ring in about. Things that aren't crimes that should be. Throwing cider in somebody's eye definitely should be a crime. The punishment? I don't know. Off the top of my head, I would imagine stuffing somebody's backside full of apples and then repeatedly knocking their legs together with sledgehammers until it crushed cider out of them. That would be one idea, with the obvious conclusion that they should then drink that cider. An unpleasant thought. Maybe it's time for more pleasant things, as we say hello to Lynn in Lincolnshire. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, Rufus.
Are you well?
I'm great, thank you.
Very nice. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, had a lazy one for a change. Been very busy lately.
Oh, okay.
It was fun.
Do you want to dedicate this call to anyone?
To my husband, I think.
Very nice. And his name?
He's fast asleep, but he, you know, I'll tell him in the morning.
Well, I know that when people are meant to be learning lines for plays, they often put the lines on a tape and play the tape to themselves while they're asleep. Apparently it will go in. So this message of love...
I'll make it a bit of a mantra for him.
Make it a bit of a mantra.
Yes, as I'm going to sleep, I'll repeat it over and over.
Just chant it.
Along those lines, maybe.
Yeah. I can't think that it wouldn't work, Lynn.
Well, I'll do my best.
Now, what are you ringing in for, all the way out there in Lincolnshire? Are you listening on the interweb, or...?
I need to get something off my chest that really bugs me.
Okay.
And I think it should be a criminal offence.
Right.
And that is people who are offensive on trains.
Offensive people on trains.
Yeah, I have a long journey to work from Sleaford to Nottingham.
Right.
And so it's not really a kind of commuter-type existence.
Mm.
It's more people on holidays and people who very rarely catch a train.
Right.
Now, I am...
The occasional train user.
I'm a professional commuter. I did live in London for years and I've done the London trains thing. And I understand that kind of... traveller.
Yes.
But I don't understand the
business-minded, the focused user of the public transport.
Exactly.
So?
Now, if you can imagine people who very rarely catch a train...
I think I can imagine them.
...pleasure.
Yeah.
Mainly to go to Skegness.
Yeah. Out round your neck of the woods.
Exactly. So you imagine, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, all you want to do is fade away. Get on that train, go to sleep maybe... Read a bit of book, maybe a bit of Voltaire, who knows?
Yeah.
and then the Skegness crowd get on. Now, not, they don't always do that in the morning. I have a different problem in the morning, because mornings are the semi-intelligent lot who get on at Bottisford.
Right.
Now, there's four
Bottisford.
In there who
sorry,
talk.
Sorry, sorry. To Bottisford.
Yes.
Right, okay. So, the intelligent Bottisford, the swinging Bottisford
now,
set.
Now, they think they're intelligent.
Oh, I see, okay. And they're not.
They just speak very loudly.
Right.
And never stop. From the time they get on the train... Now, I'm half asleep at Bottisford because I time things properly.
Yes.
I try
because you're a focused commuter. Because you're a focused commuter. You know what you're doing.
Yes, I'm a professional. For God's sake. Now, these people, they think they can do it. But I don't want to know the inside out of their lives, in the morning, particularly.
Yeah.
And they can talk to one another. I don't mind that. Yeah. They could have a nice little chat. But why do they have to speak at the top of their voice?
I've got no idea. Probably to sort of indicate that they're massively, massively important.
And why do they have to have very boring voices? I wouldn't mind them talking at the top of their voices. If they were talking something interesting, maybe something making me a little laugh, perhaps.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything, really, other than the sort of drivel that they do speak in monotone.
So it's monotone, quasi-northern drivel.
Yes.
At the very beginning of the morning, at the top of somebody's lungs.
But... other than that, or you sometimes get groups of teachers who are very excitable because they're going to a conference. And, you know, teachers can't speak quietly anyway, so they get on my nerves.
Although, if you want them to be quiet on the train, don't you just look at them sort of over the top of a book and then cough and go, I will not be speaking while
you
are speaking.
No, because they hide. I'm in a very small titchy seat because I tuck in. They take over whole tables.
Because they've got all their conference things in front of them, because they're very important.
They've got folders and little plastic badges with their names on them.
So it's essentially people who don't know what the ruddy heck they're doing on trains.
My point is they only might do that perhaps once every 6 months or something. So it's an event to get on that train in the morning.
They're as excited as sand people.
Exactly. And it offends me. I don't like people talking loudly or doing anything untoward other than just leaving me in peace.
Yes.
So that's the early part of the morning, buggered, if they do things like that. But it's worse at night.
Yeah.
Because you get all the holidaymakers going to Skegness with 300 children, 27 cases, 4 or 5 pushchairs, eating ice creams.
Yeah. And a cow in the field.
And clothes.
Yeah. And that happens at night?
Yeah, well, sort of evening time, 5 or 6 o'clock.
Right.
Perhaps. And again, you see, they only do this once a year, so it's a big occasion.
Yeah.
And presumably, they never feed their children, because any kids who go on the train... from the time they get on to the time they get off.
And they've got the chocolates, the crisps...
They have whole packed lunches, Rufus. They have everything under the sun. They have brought their whole home with them.
For the day trip to Skegness.
Exactly. And I don't like it.
No.
And I don't like the clothes they wear, and I don't like the way they look at one another, and I don't like the way they speak to one another, and I don't like the fact that they actually can't control these children.
Have you ever thought of learning to drive?
Ah.
That's
could be.
That's the problem, you see, Lynn, with your public transport, is that there will be the public hanging around dirtying up the place.
This is the trouble. This is what I find. If I could find a train that would just take me, I'd be happy.
What you want is a chauffeur, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I get one?
Well, in Lincolnshire, I'm sure you can dig them up from beneath the sprouts beneath your very feet.
Well, yes, there are a lot of cab drivers around here, there is that, but they charge too much. Well, I don't know, it'd probably be cheaper to get a taxi every day because it's very expensive on that route.
So you're on a very expensive route, surrounded by people you hate,
exactly,
who drive you psychotic.
Trains with no heating.
It's a train with no heating?
In the winter, it has no heating. In the summer...
It's like
it's
an oven.
Pouring out. Why is it in the summer?
Yeah.
When you open the windows, no wind comes in.
Yes.
In the winter, you open the windows, you're freezing to death.
Yes.
And why is it that every man on the train wants to open the windows and every woman on the train wants them closed? I feel like a jack in the box. I can't get me sleep. I can't read Voltaire. So my idea is, as a punishment,
they're
all dragged off the train
Yeah.
and just left.
Just left where you've dragged them to.
To end up at, Or I could personally just get up, particularly with some people whose language is particularly offensive, or have been sneaking cigarettes at the same time.
Sneaking cigarettes?
Well, yes, because they're not allowed to smoke on the trains.
No.
So they go to the end of the vestibule, which is just a posh word for the little bit of crappy...
yeah, sort of just a little gap at the end of the carriage.
They're in the vestibule, smoking, or in the toilet smoking, which is even worse. So I just get irritated by everything. So I want personally to be able to just to lift them up with one hand and throw them out the window.
Literally throw them from a moving train.
I think I would be performing a public service, and I'm sure at some occasions I would get cheered for it.
I don't doubt that you would. I'm trying to think who the name of the lovely lady who called earlier, who said, I know that she was out in East London somewhere, and she was saying that when you're trying to get to work, people getting in your way drives you slightly psychotic. I think you've just got an extension of that, really.
I'm turning to a very grumpy old lady. Perhaps we get some sort of long-handled stick.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of heat-seek missile that you could just poke them with a stick and they wouldn't know who did it.
I'm sure in old black-and-white movies, don't they have things where they find the person on the train and they put them in a mail sack and the mail sacks hang at the window and then there's a hook at the side of the...
That's it, you've got it.
That's the punishment. So... Thank you, because you're the only person who's called in and suggested a crime with a fitting punishment. And I think we've nailed that.
Thank you.
Upsetting people on trains, really placed in mailbags and dangled out the window. Lynn in Lincolnshire...
I'm going to suggest that to Central Trains.
Well, good luck. Let us know how that goes.
Oh, and I'm glad you had a good first night, mate.
Thank you very much indeed, Lynn. Lynn in Lincolnshire, then. Offensive people on trains... The crime and the punishment to be dangled out by a mailbag. Brilliant. We've still got lots of people ringing in and lots of texts. Let's have a little look at those. Bill says he's a teacher and they used to love the extra milk in the staff room. Of course. That's the unseen side of the milk debate, is where does that extra milk go? Well, obviously some of it taken back by the milkman, but the staff obviously never had to pay for milk in their tea. That's a great suggestion, Bill, thank you, or at least a great admission, rather. The reason why I'm drawn to David Cameron is every time you look at him, I'm lost in his eyes. Well, there's quite some idea on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen. I might just need 5 minutes to dry myself off. Nick Ferrari! For Ian Lee here. So many texts to get through, I've neglected them in favour of talking to psychotic women about trains. Jenny in Sussex, I'd just like to point out that when you photocopy your bum, it won't necessarily cause a fault. Now, that's from an earlier call. 23% of all photocopying faults in the world caused by people photocopying their own posteriors. But it doesn't automatically cause a fault, so that means many more people photocopy their bums than I calculated. Fair enough, Jenny in Sussex. I apologise if I've not done the bum calculations correctly. That's all I have to say. I just apologise. Done that. Tanya says she hated the warm milk in the 50s, and the only way to drink it was through a licorice straw. That's a great idea. Can you get licorice... The licorice straws, I'm just trying to think, what are they like? Oh, I suppose a sort of strawy and made of licorice. That would be the answer to that. Shimmy from Northwest London says, I love milk, but I always had it ice cold. Of course you did. My wife, on the other hand, hates it because she was forced to drink warm milk as a kid. Keep it cold and kids will love it. We barely touched at all on the whole chocolate milk. You can't go wrong with chocolate milk. A little bit of Nesquik, a little sprinkle in there. You can drink pints of that. It's not obviously as good for you as I thought for. And, of course, Nesquik, you can also warm that up in the microwave. And then you've got a really chocolatey hot chocolate. It sounds like I'm doing an advert for them, but I tell you, it's just a treat as and when it arrives. Now, Bob from Pimlico and Den Haag says, good morning, Rufus. Good morning, Bob. Most people don't know the Netherlands has the best beaches in Europe. That's something there that most people, that Bob can't believe more people don't know. The Netherlands has the best beaches in Europe. I would think it probably does. I mean, certainly most of the young ladies that I'm aware of who hail from the Netherlands, I would enjoy seeing them in the swimsuit section. You know what I mean? He also says, don't vote blue unless I don't want a job. Of course, you see, I've tried to be quite flippant about it and what have you. There was a time of great recession, unemployment, only recently put right. Thank you, Bob. Will Cameron change that, though? See, that's the thing, I still don't know. Can we judge young Dave on the errors of his forefathers? Maybe we can't. I don't know. Let me know what you think. 0870 9090973. Mark, though, he's in Golders Green. Hello, Mark.
Hello, how are you?
Ah, Mark, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm not too badly, not too badly.
Now, Mark, you're not from Golders Green originally.
No, I wasn't born here at all, no.
Where are you from?
New Zealand.
Now, what you might notice there is I deliberately did something. And what I deliberately did was ask you where you were from before making any assumptions at all. I know too many Kiwis where inadvertently having immediately gone, g'day, mate, is just the worst.
From Australia.
Yeah, exactly. And then what does that make you want to do, Mark?
Punch you in the nose.
Exactly. So, that's my tip. I can't believe more people don't know that when you hear somebody who you think has an Australian accent, you never suggest they're an Australian until you've asked the question. What's the thing that you can't believe more people don't know, Mark?
That milk is actually from either powder or concentrate.
There's a lot of information there. I can't quite believe what I've just heard. Run me through it again.
Most milk is either dehydrated into powder or concentrate and then re-liquidized or put water back in it to become shelf milk.
Is that true?
It is.
What? And now, how do you know this, Mark?
I used to work for Kiwi in New Zealand.
Right.
We used to make milk. You get Anchor over here. It's usually butter.
Yes. Yeah, Anchor butter from Anchor Green
butter,
Green
exactly.
Grass.
If you read it, it says it comes from New Zealand, made in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And they make milk as well. And, usually it comes from the vat. If you ever drink milk from a vat or a teat from a cow.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like drinking cream.
Isn't it harder to go to all the bother of dehydrating milk and then rehydrating it than it is just to have milk?
Well, one would think so, but no. It stores much longer. Obviously, like, the milk season is when the calving season is on, so you can't, you know, milk in the middle of winter is non-existent.
I see. So it's rehydrated to preserve it, basically.
Yeah. You take the water out of it, it lasts much longer.
Yeah, I would imagine it probably would. Have you got any experience, Mark, of the British milk industry?
Well, I'm not of the British milk industry, but I imagine it's fairly similar around the world.
See, that's the thing, because that really would surprise me if, as you say, most milk has been through that kind of processing. I think in this country, it just doesn't strike me. I can't believe that it would be true.
Well, you read it, it says pasteurised milk.
Yeah.
You read,
but pasteurising is, as far as I'm aware, lightly heating it, and it just removes the bacteria, and then it's re-cooled. I think that's right. I might have that horribly wrong. Somebody might tell
me. No, you read, like, you get fresh orange juice, as an example.
Yes.
It doesn't say pasteurised, but you get orange juice from concentrate, it says pasteurised.
So
you heat it.
Yeah.
Get rid of the moisture.
Yeah.
Which is the water. And then afterwards you add more water to it and it's back to normal again.
Like some sort of twisted magic trick.
Exactly.
So pasteurised is used instead of reduced or something, I suppose. It just sounds a bit less. Is that really how? I'm sort of talking around myself here. All I mean is, the word pasteurised means it has been processed in that way that it is not milk from the teat.
Exactly, yeah. I suppose there's probably more than one way to do it, but yes, it's not straight from the teat, as you say, or from the vat where it's pretty much from the teat only being put in a vat.
Well, do you know, Mark, before you rang in, I was thinking, we're talking a lot here about milk. And if only somebody who had a bit of expertise on the subject would ring in and blow me down, there you are, straight out of Golders Green. Did you want to dedicate that phone call to anyone?
Just the people of Golders Green.
The good burgers of Golders Green. Mark, thank you so much for ringing in.
Thank you for having me.
No, it was the pleasure was all mine.
Right,
now, One thing that I should maybe have asked Mark was something that Sanj in Slough wanted to find out. No, it wasn't. It was something that you wanted to say, Sanj. Hello.
Hi, mate. How are you?
I'm very good, man. How are you?
Outstanding, mate. Very well, very well. Thanks.
Good. You sound like you've had a pretty good day of things.
I've had a great weekend, mate. I always do. Always have a great day.
What have you been up to?
Oh, well, I'm a DJ, so I've been DJing. I had the privilege of entertaining at someone's birthday party today.
Brilliant.
And yesterday, I done a wedding.
Now, what are the big three at the moment as far as DJing goes?
When you say big three, what do you mean by that?
Every DJ has three records.
Oh, right.
And you play one at the very top to get people out there, you play one at the very end to leave with your signature tune, and you play one in the middle when nobody's dancing.
You know what, Rufus, I want to be totally honest with you. I do Asian weddings, so I could name the tracks, but you probably wouldn't even... In fact, you wouldn't even know them.
That may be true.
That will be true.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, so you've done birthdays and weddings?
Yep, and... Friday I was at my old folks' home, and,
At your old folks' home?
Yeah, my parents went to the parents.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you meant that you had a private old folks' home
like some sort of zoo or circus,
having old people running around performing tasks like clown chimpanzees.
No, not just yet, mate.
Yeah, build towards that, surely.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was good. I was at tea in the park. I had cider thrown at me. That was less good. But I did see... Do you know Cooler Shaker?
They've
reformed.
Okay.
And I got to see their whole set. I saw Maximo Park. They were excellent.
Very good.
Saw Hardfi this afternoon and the Magic Numbers. The only band that there were two. I left there to be here on time. I don't know why. I should have just stayed. The Eels were playing.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, just Eels were playing. I really wanted to see them. And who else? Divine Comedy were on at the same time as Cooler Shaker, so I missed them. But other than that, a pretty spiffing weekend.
All about?
Well, I was doing links for a TV show, so we were standing in amongst all the crowd, looking down the camera, but of course it's Scotland, so the moment that you start looking in any way like, you know, yeah, do you mind moving out the way, we're from London, you may as well just wave, you know, stand in the middle of the bull ring waving a red rag.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so somebody threw cider at me to show that they were a lot more street than I am,
it didn't bother you by the sound of it anyway.
Do you know, all that bothered me about it was I was a bit stinky. Because I wouldn't have minded if somebody had thrown lager.
Yeah.
I'm used to that smell, but the very sweet, sickly smell of apples, it really threw me off.
Nah, not very pleasant at all, mate.
Well, I'm glad we've had this chance to catch up, Sanj. Was there anybody you wanted to dedicate this phone call to?
The people of the world.
The people of the world. And was there a point to the phone call?
You know, well, my wife got my attention... she's upstairs, and she was telling me that you guys were talking about milk, as to whether it's good for you or bad for you, and so on.
Yeah, because as a child, you're always told, drink lots of milk, it's good for you, and then you get older, and you're told, don't drink too much milk.
You know, I really don't know about getting older and not being told not to drink milk, but I certainly know that as a child, and even now, I mean, I'm 31 now, people still say you should drink milk, and they give you so many reasons as to why you should drink it.
Yeah.
Teachers, doctors, your parents, your grandparents, friends, everyone tells you to drink milk, but I like to look at things through common sense. And, you know, sometimes people tell you their opinion as to what is right and what's wrong.
Yes.
And it's up to people, the individuals, as to what they take in as being right or wrong.
Mm.
So, you know...
Being open-minded, being progressively minded.
I mean, I'm in no way saying that what I'm about to say and what I'm about to share with you is right, but it's what I believe. And, you know, I just look at... You know, I just like to look at things through common sense, so let me just...
So hit me with it.
Well, basically, if you look at the animal kingdom, right, if you look at all the animals in the world, you've got, you know, cows, goats, giraffes, horses, human beings, all right?
Those are all animals, yes.
Yeah. Now, basically, what happens is, we're born, and we turn to our mothers, the majority of us anyway, for milk, okay? So we're all having milk from our mother.
Right.
And then... At a certain point, our mothers will stop producing that milk for us.
Yeah.
Now, a cow doesn't go running off to a goat and say, hey, goat, my mum isn't giving me no milk anymore, so can I have some from you?
Yeah.
Just like a horse doesn't go to a giraffe.
Right.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
So...
I see your point.
Yeah, so why do human beings...
Drink a cow's milk?
Mum, I ain't got no milk from you anymore, so let me go and get some from a cow.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, and in fact, using the milk as an example, I think if you give a hedgehog milk, that's the equivalent of giving a human being poison.
Well, than something you just educated me with.
I think that gives them liver failure. Because really? Hedgehogs really like cow's milk. And people used to feed them Weetabix. If you found a hedgehog in your garden, you always gave them Weetabix. So you should give them Weetabix, but with water.
Right.
They like that. If you give them milk, apparently, they get liver disease and die.
I'm with you. You see, and another thing you've got to look at, Rufus.
Yeah?
If you look at a cow's milk and a goat's milk and a horse's milk, if you look at the biochemical structure of that, now, I'm not a scientist, I'm just telling you what I believe.
Yeah. Can you tell me in 10 seconds, Sanj?
Okay. If you look at the biochemical structure of that, they won't be the same, okay? So the human milk and the cow's milk is very different.
That I'm going to take that as your strap line. A human's milk and a cow's milk are very different, Sanj. That, let it be the end of it. Incoming. Not Ian Lee, that is me. Rufus Hound. Ian Lee's on holiday, so I'm standing in for him. And honestly, enjoying it more than I thought I would. It's fantastic. So many people ringing in. Sanj, I cut you off only because there were things to do, news to get to and so forth. Your point there about the different milks, are we right to drink them, are we not? I think it's got some common sense behind it. That's what you said it had, and I think you're right. But that having been said, we do lots of things that animals don't do. Even now, I'm still torn with the whole thing. The milk has been a hot topic all night, and I dare say we will come back to it at some point. But until then, we had a text in earlier on saying that what couldn't be believed was that most people didn't know white vinegar is really good at getting rid of limescale. Couldn't believe that people didn't know that. But I wasn't sure if white wine vinegar white vinegar was a posh vinegar. Grain in Sutton, and forgive me, Grain, if I'm pronouncing the name wrong, it could be Grainy or Grenya, I suppose. You're out in Sutton, and you've written, I can't believe you didn't know white vinegar. What is my obsession with white wine? I can't not say white wine, it's just white vinegar. I can't believe you didn't know white vinegar is the cheapest. Everybody knows that, don't they? No, I didn't. But your nephew's called Rufus, so that's a very good thing. It's nice to know that there are a few more out there. You've put, did I know it meant reddish? Yes, I did know that, but I'd sort of forgotten it. It's nice to be put back in touch with the meaning of my own name. So thank you very much for that. Rufus, you're attracting all the grandma callers to your shop. Sorry. Rufus, you're attracting all the grandma callers to your show like moths to the knicker drawer. Stop being so darn charming. Well, I'd not been aware that there's been a particular age divide over the course of the show. There's been a few more mature ladies, but I always like to think with the mature lady, there's so much to learn. That's me being charming again and drawing them in, isn't it? Sorry, I've just really enjoyed it. Lots of people ringing in, lots of people wanting to get involved. It's fantastic. Dave in New Eltham, who'd already made a magnificent contribution to the show earlier on, I've been saying I was at tea in the park and had cider thrown on me. Dave's written, are you sure it was cider? It's a very good point. A lot of that does go on at the festivals, doesn't it? Because you can't always get to the portaloo as and when you need to. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I've presumed it was cider because it was sort of apple-y and it smelt like cider, but it could have just been a Scottish gentleman who drank a lot of cider. Oh, God, thanks very much for that, Dave. That's going to make me not sleep terribly well tonight. One of the other things we've been talking about is, please remind me why I can't vote Conservative. One man who's risen to that challenge is Eduardo, and he's in Chigwell. Hello, Eduardo.
How you doing?
How are you doing? Very well, man. Have you had a nice weekend?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Absolutely nothing today.
Really?
That's what's part of the beauty of it.
Just chilling out.
11:30. Had some eggs. Don't listen.
You had some eggs?
Yeah, don't cook eggs, right, with no shirt on.
Okay. Have you got singed nipples?
How do you know?
Well, because I would imagine the suggestion that don't cook eggs with no shirt on is either that you were boiling them and it overflowed, or that you were frying them, in which case you got spat on. I have done a fried breakfast before now with no shirt on, and I'd tell you what, never again.
You know, there's nothing wrong with the more mature woman anyway.
I agree.
I mean, you know, at my time of life, I'm in those in-between years, I tend to attract, you know, a woman of a certain age now anyway.
Now, Eduardo, I'm going to be rude here. How old are you?
I'm heading I'm hurtling towards 36.
Okay. Well, you're
how
not
old
that...
are you, by the way?
How old am I? I'm 27.
Well, you know, you've got a... Don't take this the wrong way.
No, no, no. I'm not going to.
Let me just preempt that. But you have a strange name for a 27-year-old. Either you're Scottish or yeah. you're from one of those really wealthy, eccentric families. Because the only Rufus... I mean, it's a Labrador's name, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is a bit. It's I can tell you that Rufus is the American equivalent of Rover.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you have a dog, you'd call it Rover. Well, in America, they call it Rufus.
It's good to have, like, a unique name.
You've gone very quiet there, Eduardo.
Sorry, I'm in bed.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, the phone's...
Just speaking. Lying there, spread eagle, your singed nipples pointing yeah. upwards, and you thought you'd give us a ring at LBC.
Well, I called you earlier, but, you know, so...
We kept you hanging on. It's my fault.
No,
I've been
okay, don't worry.
Yammering on to all sorts.
Hey, David Cameron.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. But no one can vote for him.
Right.
Because I really want to see a short, fat Scottish bloke running the country. Really annoy, like, half of the... Well, it would annoy all of those people that have England flags in their windows.
I see what you mean. There was that curious
the
moment...
The States would just... erupt in a civil riot.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk because of the World Cup, of course, yeah. about the Scots saying they would support anybody but England. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it made me feel a bit weird. Because I've spent a bit of time up in Scotland for the Edinburgh Festival and things like that. And people are quite torn. The Scots, as a people, are hugely generous and very, very friendly.
Like in Scotland?
In Scotland, absolutely.
But not here.
Do you think?
No, they're brooding drinkers.
Good bit of xenophobic stereotyping there.
But it's Scots, so it's okay.
Yeah, because technically they're us. Yeah, it's a bit like I can make jokes about my dad, but you can't. Is that sort of thing?
Well, I suppose so.
Or vice versa. Yeah. No, yeah, so...
There would be just a lovely irony, you know, that the English would be ruled by
a Scot.
A Scottish dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, we conquered... Well, the English people conquered them.
Well, hang on. You sound pretty English to me.
Ah, well, I've been here 30 years.
Okay. And what colour's your passport?
I've managed to wrangle an English passport now, which is great for them.
So...
Because years ago, when you used to come in...
Yeah.
And you used to come in... Probably won't remember, but you used to come in to Heathrow...
Yeah.
To be the UK part.
Trust me, I know more about that than I wanted to tonight.
There you go. There used to be the UK line and the three lines, the Europe line and then the rest of the world.
That's right, yeah.
If you had a UK passport, you just flew through. And if you didn't, you'd stuck there for hours.
Right.
But now it's all European, isn't it?
So the line still goes back.
The world still suffers, though. I'd hate to have one of those passports.
Yeah, I like to think that they're all just the same passport. It's just the rest of the world passport that you can get. So you became a British citizen to avoid having to queue up at Heathrow.
Yeah, and...
Well, you know, technically, then, you're a Brit, aren't you?
Well, no, I am now, yeah, and I love God Save the Queen.
You love...
stand up, we support the England football team.
Where were you from originally, Eduardo?
Well, only around the corner, only in Spain.
Spain? And they, how did they do at the World Cup?
They did as equally good as England.
Oh, well, there we go. So a nice sort of...
Put out by cheating Frenchmen.
You were put out by cheating Frenchmen?
Yeah.
See, I this is just me. I watched barely any of the World Cup. If England weren't playing, I just didn't really pay attention.
No, but it was good because, like, the world shut down when England played.
Yeah.
If you had a journey to make, that was the time to do it.
Yes. No one Yeah, it's quite nice to think, you know, you'd make a note of when the England games were on because you could get to the shops.
Exactly. Go and fill up the petrol, you know, because there was no one at the pump.
Well, Eduardo, your reason for not voting for Cameron is to irritate English people.
Absolutely.
And as an English person, that still doesn't sway me. If anything, you've put me more in the mind to vote for Cameron.
No, it would be hilarious. Imagine the headlines in the Sun.
Yeah, I suppose. Although I'm fairly sure most of I'm slightly torn by all of that. I think there are a lot of Scots people at the work at the Sun. I don't think the Sun ever's come out as being particularly anti-Scottish. I think it'd be fine.
Anti everything.
Yeah, just, yeah. Yeah, anti anything that isn't going to line the pockets of an enormous Australian billionaire.
Would like to.
Well, thank you. Rub a bit of Savlon on the old nipples.
Yes, I'll give them a tweak now and it'll be all right.
Later. Yeah. Think of me while you tweak your nipples. God bless you. That's Eduardo in Chigwell, who refuses to admit where he's from. Not really, of course. Let's have a quick look over here. We've got, I think, one or two more texts. Rufo, Rufo, Rufo. More people should know that aliens disguised as hats are reading minds and ultimately planning to conquer the known universe. Brilliant. Okay, more people arguably should know that. Marvellous. Remember, if you want to ring in, the number is 0870 90 90 973. And the things that we want you to talk about are crimes. Things that aren't crimes that definitely should be. Please. Please let us know about those. We've had people who just are in... people who are irritating, who don't know how to use trains. That's been the big crime that we had. Also, Westlife and street urination. They're not crimes at the moment, per se, but how should they be punished more accurately? Give us a ring about that. Also, remind us, please, or remind me at least, why I can't vote for David Cameron, because sometimes I forget, because he seems to make a lot of sense when he's talking. Yeah, I can't bring myself to vote Conservative. And just to irritate English people seems, although a lovely put forward reason, Eduardo, not necessarily a good enough one. And finally, things that you think more people should know. Let us know about those as well. That'd be excellent. Just having a look now at the old texts. LBC tradition dictates that all DJs set up a MySpace page. Ah, do I have one? I'm the same age as you. You're single, not a munter either. A little X at the end there is rather exciting. I do actually have a MySpace page. I probably should have adjusted it before I came into LBC. It's, the myspace.com and then / the dog's house. Which was 'cause Rufus Hound, you see. Rufus Hound, the dog's house. Don't put the dog house. I don't know who's got that. But it was somebody else before me. I tried that, so I just added an S. So, yeah, there you go. If you want to be my friend, put LBC in it. Otherwise, I just ignore people, to be honest. Because you get a lot of people cruising around trying to make you their friend so they can plug sex lines and rubber hats, something like that. So I ignore a lot of people. But if you put LBC, then, of course, it'd be lovely to be friends. Somebody else writing, Bill in Ilford writes, please, where can you buy a pint of milk with a couple of inches of cream on top? That's how it used to be. My mum, Bill in Ilford, as a treat on a Sunday, would buy, I think, is it called Gold Top, that milk? Gold Top, proper old-fashioned Gold Top milk. And apparently, you don't shake the bottle or anything, you just pop it open, and you get the big dollop of cream right on the first thing. And it's for sugar puffs. Apparently sugar puffs with real proper milk. That's what has to happen with that. But yeah, it's a very good point. Dan in South East London says people should know that for years farmyard animals have been planning a military coup. Which is wicked. Because I think isn't coup spelt COUP. But he's put military coup. And of course farmyard animals would be preparing a military coup. Because what kind of... Otherwise, where would the militarised chickens live? One more from these texts. Am I Ian Lee? No, I'm not. He's on holiday. That's why I'm here. Ian Lee was very unsure. And I'm people are writing nice things. And thank you for writing nice things. I think I've got to say something else in a minute. But I'll work out what that is. Just give me a ring. And God bless you, because you have... And you've joined in, and you've made my first show a lot easier than it could have been. So thanks for that. I'm going to have a quick sip of tea and be back shortly.
The Amazing Adventure.
Hello, Rufus Hound here, standing in for Ian Lee on London's LBC 97.3. I'll tell you something. Since we killed off the milk topic, nobody's phoned. I knew this was coming up. I'd planned a couple of topics, a couple of things I thought were worth... speaking about, nobody really that interested in any of those. It was milk. If you want to talk about milk, we can talk about milk. Otherwise, I can tell you about Tea in the Park. Tea in the Park is a weird one. 75,000 people up in a park in Scotland. And the funny thing is that really what you want to say is it's just like a Scottish Glastonbury. But I think they get a bit cross if you say that, because you're basically saying they're a reduced version of something that's done much better in England. But it's been great. It's been absolutely brilliant up there. The weather yesterday was terrible, to the extent where I ended up buying a military-style sheet, a rubberised sheet that has got a hole poked in it and a hood. I walked around, and that was lovely and dry. And then today, it was really, really lovely and sunny, to the point where I got burned. So yesterday, I was essentially wearing a rubber sheet, and today I've got a face that's bright red. I'm quite glad this is radio, really, between having cider hurled at me and what have you. However, that was Tea in the Park. Had to come down, then was late, so we were asking you, it's my first day at LBC, probably, possibly. If you've ever been late for a job, especially your first day, let us know about it. People getting in touch about that. If you've got any stories at all, let us know. Although I can see that there's already people ringing back in about milk, which I'm very excited about. We'll get to a few of those in a moment. So, yeah, have you been late for the first day at work, or have you just had a terrible first day at work? Let us know about that, please. Crimes and their punishments, let us know about that. Can you remind me, please, why I can't vote for David Cameron? Because everything he says, he's meant to be making some big speech tomorrow, so maybe that's when it'll really hit the news and what have you. But he watched a film called Kid Adulthood, which is a fine piece of work, starring the lovely Jamie Winston, who is Ray Winston's daughter. And I think it's also the other fella in it. It was also Mickey in Doctor Who. Yeah, I think we're about right on that. We might look that up in a minute. But the point being that young people wearing the hoods, it's much more about hiding than it is about an aggressive act. You know, that the people are feeling, young people are feeling unloved. They're not feeling part of society. And it's sort of like a way of hiding away from all of that. And Cameron's saying that we shouldn't ban them from shopping centres as a result. We should, we should deal with the cause of those problems. Why are these kids growing up feeling so insecure? Now that is, it strikes me as eminently sensible. Why the heck does he have to be the leader of the Conservative Party? I could vote for him, even Lib Dem. I could happily do Lib Dem. I'm not bothered about that. But Conservative, if you can tell me, just remind me why, please. I can't vote Conservative. Also, give us a ring. 0870 90 90 973. Somebody who has picked up the phone is Mandy in Peterborough. Hello, Mandy.
Hello.
You all right?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for asking. Have you had a nice weekend?
Yeah, it's been all right.
What have you been up to?
Well, barbecuing, partying, working, done the lot.
Yeah, nice. You've ticked every box there that could possibly in your weekend. That's lovely. Has it been nice up in Peterborough?
It's been lovely.
We've had another call from Lincolnshire.
Where?
Lincolnshire.
Where's that?
Earlier on. You're not that far from you in Peterborough.
Oh, hello, Lincolnshire.
Yeah, I know, it's nice. It's just funny, you know, because you think it's LBC, the London Broadcasting Corporation.
And
at all. And we're getting a lot of people out. Yeah. So, anyway, Mandy, delightful to have you with us. You want to talk about milk?
I do. Oh, I love milk.
Do you?
Yes, it's so underrated.
Now, you sound passionate about it.
I'm passionate.
What gives you that passion?
I tell you what gives me that passion. If milk is, it starts you and it ends you. Milk
is your alpha and your omega.
It is indeed.
Now, what is the pinnacle of your milk love?
I have no pinnacle. I just love it all. It's fantastic.
There's no specific love of
milk. Is milk. You're a baby and you have milk.
Yeah.
As a parent, I obviously encourage my children to drink milk and eat milk. Well, not eat it, but eat it with things. And so you have milk as a baby. That's all you have. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You have cereal with your milk. You have tea with your milk. You have coffee with your milk. You have scrambled eggs with your milk. You have milkshake with your milk. And milk is, it's fantastic.
Yeah, a bit of hot milk. My granddad was a big fan of chopped bananas in milk.
Oh, I haven't tried it.
There's a little something you could try.
I've had banana sandwiches, but maybe I want bananas and milk.
What he used to do...
Bananas and milk and ice cream as a milkshake.
Bananas, milk and ice cream as a milkshake. Yeah, you get a blender or something. That's
delicious.
bananas most of the time used as a base in a smoothie, I think, as well. A lot of things that you don't think have got bananas in have to give it the kind of smoothie texture.
Yeah, I'm not a smoothie person, but I can try that.
I'm just coming up with suggestions, really.
Well, I can just say that I've actually become a full milk person.
You've become a full milk person.
Full milk rather than semi.
Now, I remember when my house changed from full to semi, and not really being able to tell the difference that much. It didn't ever struck me as a big deal. But now, if I have full fat milk,
Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
I have it. It's like drinking cream, you know. I just very unpleasant.
Well, if I go to my mum's and I have a cup of tea at my mum's, she has the blue milk, it's blue in...
I know what you mean, yeah. Green is the colour of semi-skimmed, blue is the colour of full-fat milk.
She has the skimmed red cap.
The red cap. It's just like white water.
Yeah.
Without the fun of the rafting.
Yeah. And so, whenever she comes to mind, because I've got young children, we have to have the blue cap milk, which is full cream.
Okay. And is that a recommendation?
Well, I've become accustomed to it. It isn't my choice, but because it's easier to buy loads of blue caps rather than green caps, that I have the blue cap because of the children. They need their calcium and whatever else they get from the milk.
But that's what I mean. Is it...
Would a doctor
recommend that if you've got young children, you have blue milk? I see. That's the bit I was missing. Sorry to interrupt, Mandy. You were saying...
That's okay. Let me continue. If you go to my mum's and you get a cup of tea, you've got, like, this black swirl in your mug.
Right.
Because the milk is red cap and there's hardly any milk in it. It's really water.
Yeah.
You put in water with your tea and it's just, like, black swirl.
Yeah.
And so if my mum comes here for a cup of tea, you have to put the minuscule amount of milk in there.
Yeah.
And she's like, you put too much milk in it. Oh, it's all milky and it's all horrible.
Hmm.
And I've become accustomed to it. I do like a strong cup of tea.
So do I. Stand your spoon up in it.
Put your bag in a bit longer. Put three or four, five or six bags in there. Make it nice and strong. And then put a drop of blue cap milk.
Can you, what about if you got, like a little bottle and put a splash of normal milk in and then some water and shook it up? That would thin it out a bit.
You could do that, but that's just being a bit mean.
It is being a bit mean. Instead, you just put a small amount of milk in and your mum remains happy. And what more do we want in the world, Mandy, than happy mothers?
Oh, I love my mum being happy.
Me too. And hopefully, then, we'll make her all the more happy by saying this one's for mum.
But also...
Oh, I don't think there can be an also.
No, there's got to be an also.
You got 10 seconds.
Blue milk makes my children happy.
Ah, which makes you happy and you're their mum. So we've still got happy mums, we've still got blue top milk, and that is all we need to know about that, Mandy in Peterborough. God bless you!
The Amazing Adventures of Cucumber Man.
We're over sound, standing in for Ian Lee, which has been very lovely indeed. So much has been said. None of it, I'll be honest, was any intention of mine. But you've listened and you've joined in with talk of milk aspects of the white stuff that I'd never even considered. Thank you so much for that. Not only that, you've joined in with telling me things that you can't believe more people don't know. We've found out that Netherlands has the best beaches amongst other things, and I would never even have thought that. It's a very flat place. I would have, you know, of course they're arguably going to be a lot more beach of the Netherlands if the old global warming continues. And to be honest, the only way of changing that is to have somebody who's putting green issues at the top of the list. And who's doing that? David Cameron. Still nobody, unfortunately, has really got to grips with why I shouldn't vote Conservative. I did need to be told that, and that's not really happened. So maybe next time we'll try a little harder and I'll have thought about it a little bit more rather than just babbling on about not knowing who to vote for. I suppose we've got a long time till the next general election, so it's not urgent, is it? I just find at the moment it's an odd one, because everything he says, I'm so far. Anyway, we've been through it, but I keep agreeing with what he says. The Nokia message tone is SMS in Morse code. We have got to the bottom of that now. There was a suggestion very early on in the show that it was some shortcut, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Shortcut Morse code for you have a message, but it's not. It's SMS. The letters SMS in Morse code. Brilliant. We've learned about milk. We've learned about SMS Morse codes. We've learned that Joyce, at least, thought that banning milk from schools, that's how it all started, was the best thing Margaret Thatcher ever did. And let me tell you, from there on in, it was an absolute firecracker. What? To be honest, I'm just going to need to go home and have a lie down after all of this. Unfortunately, Adrian Allen is going to make it so that I can do that.
Top
aren't you, Adrian
man,
Allen?
Rufus, how are you?
Yeah, very good, man. How are you?
A man that that goes to see Hard Fi at the Tina Park is a man after my own heart.
They were excellent.
Yeah.
One of the few bands that provided their own graphics as well.
Really?
During Stars of CCTV, they had all their cameras pointing at the crowd.
Fantastic.
And picking out faces and doing the Stars of CCTV. And during Cash Machine, it just rolled across the screen, sorry, you have no funds for this. It was all very tied in anyway. It was better than a lot of them.
But you couldn't stay to see The Who?
I couldn't, because I had to be here. And I believe you come down from Edinburgh as well?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
What time?
I left early this morning. I do a breakfast show for another radio station.
Okay.
So I came down early and got here early. But I was yesterday I was going to go and see the Kaiser Chiefs, Franz Ferdinand, and the Chili Peppers.
The Chilis,
yeah.
I,
great band.
I am backstage. I walked past Flea.
Right.
Who was holding his baby, and this baby looks exactly like Flea. It's incredible. It's just got... Because, you know, Flea's baby face anyway.
Yeah.
It was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Anyway, what are you up to?
Goodness knows. We're going to do just stuff after 1 o'clock. We normally do an homage, so if you've been listening to Rufus and you haven't been able to get on the show, give us a call. We'll put you straight on after 2 o'clock.
Sounds magnificent.
Fantastic.
Let me tell you...
Congratulations. Well done.
Oh, thank you very much, man. First show out of the way. That's me pretty much done. Stay tuned for Adrian, and if you joined in, just thank you so much. Give us a ring, 0870 9090 973. That's the way to join in. Until then, ta-da!
On FM, on DAB,